We may be talking to John C. Reilly. Wait, a great actor that dude is, about his movie Cyrus coming up here in a few minutes. We will be talking to comedian Bill Burr, who was, I thought he was a respectful Celtics fan when he was in here yesterday.
He was.
Definitely.
But he's going to be very, very sad today, and that will make Kevin happy. So that's all coming up here.
No, it won't. I don't want him to be unhappy. I want other Celtics fans to be unhappy.
Just not Bill.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Miss Cleo has joined us in studio, and we're so excited to be able to talk to you, Miss Cleo, because we understand you had an exciting day yesterday that you'd like to share with us, and we want to hear more.
Should we give a little background?
Yes, we should.
Miss Cleo speeds a lot and got caught a lot. She's had, like, how many tickets within a year and a half or whatever it was?
I don't even know
how
anymore.
Yes, you do.
I think it was
seven or eight?
Seven, I think.
Seven tickets in, like, a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had her in one time. We were like, dude, you know, at two, most of us would set our cruise control or just stay at the speed limit. How do you possibly get a third and then a fourth and then a fifth and then a sixth? What's the problem? So then she went to one of these places that cleans up your record, and they cleaned it up. And
A ticket clinic.
They did miracle work with her.
Unbelievable. Like, I can't even believe a place like that exists. I don't even know how they do it. Maybe I don't want to know how they do it, but Miss Cleo, at some point, even after all those tickets, started out with a clean record again, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, which I think is the problem. That's what I think.
Because now she's got a lot of room to wiggle.
Right. Now she's got another six to go before she's back in trouble again. So the fascinating thing was, we had many conversations with her. Why don't you just, you know, if you know you get caught on that road at that spot and you speed every day at that spot, at what point are you going to, I don't know, slow down?
And what was the answer to that question, Ms. Cleo? Because I don't remember what your comeback was.
Immediately.
Right. Okay. So yesterday you were speeding through that area.
Uh-huh.
Is it always the same area?
Uh-huh.
That's what makes it great. It's like...
Is it always the same cop?
Might as well just have the cop just sitting there with his lights on. And she just drives by and pulls over.
Here's the easy ticket.
Hey, I got the big boob girl again today. Really, I got her yesterday.
Do you think he sits there and just fills in most of the information on the ticket, just waiting for her to show up every day?
I'm wondering if there's like a thing where they go, oh, the girl with the,
you know. Yeah, of course.
And then they just take turns.
Of course.
Big boom, small brain.
All right.
But Miss Cleo, I really need to hear from you what was going through your mind as you were speeding through the area where you have previously gotten more than a half a dozen tickets. What were you thinking?
I wasn't, obviously. I got into my car yesterday to go home, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to use the cruise control today.
That's a good decision.
I've been good. I'll just monitor my speed. I had consciously had that thought.
Why did you say I'm not going to, though? Is it a big problem for you to set it?
You mean to figure out my brain?
I'm saying if I had seven tickets, even I would figure that out.
Did you want to go faster?
No.
You know what this is, guys? This is I'm on a diet, yet I'm going to keep buying Oreos and putting them in the house and then daring myself not to eat them. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and every single time you eat the Oreos, yet you still go out and buy more Oreos. That's what Miss Cleo does. She tempts herself and she knows she can't be trusted.
Now, let me ask you this question. Were you on the way someplace that you were late for?
Nope.
Even better.
.com.
Even better.
But
just on the way home.
Were you listening to music and singing?
No rush.
Yes.
This is my theory.
Oh, I agree.
This is what happens to her.
I know, I zone out.
And you just,
yeah. That's why you leave it on cruise control.
I know.
All right, so what happened?
So, I was going 80, which I can't say anything because that's above the speed limit. And at this point, I should be going 60 as opposed to 65.
Well, after
but really,
seven
in
tickets,
California,
a lot.
80 is a BS ticket.
And
that's the flow of
that's
traffic.
Not true.
Yes,
it's not.
It is.
It's 15 miles. 74 is a bogus ticket, Cleo. 80 is not a bogus ticket.
I've gone 72
of traffic.
And had... first thing in the morning when there's no traffic, I had a cop on the bullhorn go, slow down.
Oh, 72 is ridiculous.
That is a bogus ticket. 80
is not.
If you're
going 70, you won't get a ticket. If you're going 80, you'll get
a
ticket.
Wait. Let me just say something, though. For a person who had seven tickets in a year, 80 might as well be 150.
I agree. It's a stupid thing to do. However, it's also the flow of traffic. I'm not trying to justify anything.
First of all, you're trying to justify it 100%.
I'm not, but I'm saying in California, you guys can't. All right, I'm not.
I have your back.
I never drive 80.
Thank you, Mike. Like,
it doesn't slow people down.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't.
Realistically, like, if it's not a heavy traffic hour, and you know, 80, especially in the fast lane on the freeway.
Well, maybe she
not
shouldn't
a big deal.
Be in the fast.
I shouldn't be doing that. Correct.
Now, what Kevin said is very true. 84 Kevin and I, who have no tickets, not a big deal. 84 you,
me.
is stupid.
I agree. I'm not arguing.
So
that.
You got pulled over. So, did you start crying immediately? Did you just go, I'm such
me?
A loser?
No, not anymore. I start laughing.
Did you pull your t-shirt down a
no,
little and
I
get ready?
No, I was wearing like a raggedy t-shirt yesterday. There was nothing I could do in that.
I'm just saying.
I
take it off. I'm just saying. You got to do something. They pull you over, yes.
So my excuse that I came up with yesterday, I told the cop that the reason why I was speeding was because I have a real fear of going number two in a public place, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I was trying to get home.
That's good.
It's as good as anything.
I even told him that I'm seeing a psychiatrist for it. And then it's a real issue, and you can call my doctor. And I didn't know who I was going to put on the phone, but I was going to call a
Me
doctor.
Or Mike.
Dr. Drew.
Call us.
Call Dr. Drew.
No.
Life for you.
Drew wouldn't lie for her.
By the way, the fear sounds like a pretty realistic excuse that somebody might use that might actually work. I got to applaud Miss Cleo. That's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
I don't know.
The fear.
If you had that sound effect, it would have been better.
I don't know if you guys remember, but that got me out of a ticket before. Do you remember that? I was coming here.
Look,
and
it's hard to keep up with your tickets and what you get out of and don't, but.
So then he says, whoa, hang on. You mean to tell me you can't, I'll escort you and write you your ticket as you go to the bathroom in this gas station right over here? I was like, no, you don't understand. I can't do it in a public place. And he's like, well, what if you go on vacation? I was like, I just told you I have to go to the bathroom really badly. You're questioning me on what?
Hold on a second. Why didn't you take him up on the offer to go to the restroom in the service station? He's not going in the stall with you.
No, he's still writing. He said I'll write the ticket while you go to the bathroom.
And that was not her goal.
No, my goal was to try and get out of it.
But he knew that. How many times has he heard that, I wonder?
I don't know, because it seemed like he was fascinated. He started asking me all kinds of questions, like, well, what do you do when you're on vacation?
Of course. Because logically, you have to go someplace else.
I said, my response to that, I don't take a vacation longer than 2 days.
Oh, dear God.
Miss Cleo, I know that we've discussed this topic before, but a woman with your boobs should never get a ticket. You are such a fail. How do you get so many tickets with those?
Obviously, I don't know how to use them. But yesterday, I was literally wearing an oversized t-shirt.
Don't
There's
do
nothing
that.
I can do about that.
You need to have a tight shirt in the car with you at all times and throw it on when a cop pulls you over. That's what I'm saying.
And we've gone over this. This is what you say. When the cop comes up to the window, where are you in such a hurry to? You say, I was in a hurry to the hotel room where I'm going to meet you and service you.
Yeah.
End of ticket.
No.
Or beginning of jail. One or the other.
How many tickets do you have now on your record?
I honestly don't remember.
Don't
this
lie.
Has to
oh
be...
My God.
This has to...
Well, no, because other ones are wiped away.
After you got the 7 wiped clean, you've gotten 2 more
well,
since, haven't
the
you?
The ticket clinic is fighting one for me right now.
Okay, that's one that you got after that.
Correct.
Okay.
And so
this is the second one.
Yeah.
Okay, you agree with us and everyone listening right now that you shouldn't be allowed to drive, right?
Yes.
Okay, because when you lose your job because you can't get in a car anymore, it's going to be very, very sad. We're going to miss you, but you brought this on yourself.
She can carpool with Doc. You know, I mean, I think
as long as she records it,
I think that's an acceptable thing. Well, Miss Cleo, I just want to hear you say, I am dumb. Say it. Say it.
I'm a bad driver.
Nope.
I want to hear you say that this is karma for not doing those jumping jacks.
No.
That's what I want to hear.
Sorry, I'll admit to that. This is karma for this guy jumping jacks.
All right.
Slash from Velvet Revolver.
Last year, when Time Magazine was putting together their list of the greatest guitar players of all time, Slash only came in at number 2. I mean, I don't know I don't know how disappointed you are with that, but he is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Slash has returned. How are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, you got to turn up your headphones, right? Headphones.
Well, that was a waste of a big intro right there.
You're gonna have to do it again, B. You have to do it again now. All right. Right, Slash isn't used to being in a studio with equipment, so this is,
come on,
new to him.
I'm just not used to having to do it myself.
Exactly, you got people for that. Exactly. Well, Slash, it's great to see you. You know, we always love having you on the Kevin Abid Show, and I got to be honest, I remember the very first time we ever had you on the show. You know, you have preconceived notions of what somebody's going to be like based on what little you know about them, and your public persona was always this, you know, this badass guitar player who we never saw talk before. And then we had you on the show. You're like the nicest guy in the world. You're just like so super mellow and friendly and articulate. I would have expected that from you, but I mean that as a compliment.
That was then.
Now you're ready to get into the dick phase of your life.
Right. No, I appreciate that. You know, thank you.
First things first. You went on the Tonight Show with Team Coco Button.
Right.
All right. That was greatest act of defiance in television history.
That makes you our hero.
All right.
You are our
hero. It was actually no big deal. It wasn't supposed to be any kind of a big deal. I was just showing support for my buddy Conan, you know.
And we loved it.
There you have it.
But did Jay see it? Did he know?
I think what happened was when they were watching editing the playback for after we got done playing, then all of a sudden they were like, oh, my God.
Oh, and they noticed it then?
And then it was a big deal.
It blew up all over the internet, obviously. Every website in the world had a screen cap of you wearing the Coco Button. And it's just, I mean, it's such an F you to Leno. I just love it so much.
Well, it wasn't intentional like that.
It was just more your man.
It was more for Conan. It wasn't really a diss to Leno.
Right.
Can we take it as both?
You guys are going to do whatever you want with it, obviously.
Right. What put you on Team Coco, by the way? What makes you such a Conan fan?
I've always liked him as a person. He's a cool guy ever since the first time that I ever went on his show. And then over the years, we just got to be sort of buddies, and I've done a lot of sort of skits with him and this and that. And, you know.
How is he as a guitar player, by the way? I know he loves the guitar.
You know what? I'm not really sure.
Really?
He jokes about it a lot, but I've never actually seen him execute anything on the guitar.
Because if I'm friends with Slash and I'm a guitar player, I'm calling him up all the time going, hey, Slash, help me.
No.
I don't think I am. I think I'm not going to want to play my guitar in front of Slash.
Yeah, he's never played in front of me as far as that I can remember.
Well, you need to demand it.
Okay. He's out on the road right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yep. Slash is, by the way, not out on the road, but he is doing something very special. If you're in Southern California, it can't still be possible to get tickets to see you at the Roxy tomorrow night, can it, Slash?
It sold out pretty quick.
Yeah. I would imagine so, yeah. Now, what's going to happen on stage? Who's going to be playing in the band with you?
Well, okay, my band comprises of Miles Kennedy on vocals and Brent Fitz on drums, Todd Kearns on bass, and Bobby Schneck on rhythm guitar.
Now, Miles Kennedy is a name that a lot of people may not know, but he's the lead singer of Alter Bridge, which is obviously a huge band, and he sings a couple songs on your new record, and I guess at the show tomorrow night, he'll be singing some of the other songs on the record that you have different guest vocalists for on the album, right?
Miles is an enigma. He's this really nice, very mild-mannered kind of guy, and he can belt it out like nobody else. I mean, he's amazing. Yeah. He was sort of a late discovery when I was making the record. I had this one song that I thought was one of my proudest moments musically, and I couldn't figure out who I wanted to sing it, and I just thought, well, there's that guy Miles Kennedy who I'd never met, but I knew he had a great voice, so I called him up, and I just, you know, throwing caution to the wind, sent him the music, and he came back like about 4 days later with a vocal on it. I had no idea what to expect, and it was amazing. It's
really?
A song called Starlight on the record, and that was the last thing that I recorded.
How did you come up with the idea originally to have all different lead singers?
I think, you know, because I do a lot of session work, and I jam with all kinds of different people sort of outside the, you know, hard rock sort of genre. Mm-hmm. And I do it so much, I finally got to a point where I go, you know, it'd be really cool to have a bunch of people play on a record that I sort of wrote. And at the end of the last Velvet Revolver tour, I decided that I wanted to do something on my own and decided to use that concept as my sort of, whatever, breakout thing. You know?
Slash, how are you as a singer?
You know, I can hold a note, but I just, I don't have the personality for it. I'm a little bit, it's just for, I hate to write, I don't even like to hum to myself, okay?
Really?
Interesting.
And I hate sort of putting my thoughts and feelings on paper and trying to communicate them via you know, song.
So you write music.
Yeah. I write lyrics sometimes.
You do.
You know,
okay.
I've had to do it in a pinch, but on this record, there was a couple little pieces where I had some input, but, for the most part, I like to leave it to people who do that for a living.
Tell people who sing on your record.
Who sings on the record?
Yeah.
Ozzy's on it, Chris Cornell is on it, Adam Levine's on it, Fergie's on it, Ian Astbury's on it, Rocco DeLuca, Miles Kennedy, Iggy Pop. It's a long list.
Anyone we've heard of?
were most of these people already, most of these people were friends of yours, or were there a lot of cases where it was a cold call like it was with Miles?
There was a few cases where it was a cold call like it was with Miles. M. Shadows, Rocco DeLuca, Miles Kennedy are guys that I had never met before.
Interesting.
When I started making the record, what I did was I wrote the songs and I think who would sound good on each particular piece of music. So I started out and I took all the music that had people that I knew to make those first calls, because you know the rejection factor was looming large, right?
I don't.
So
it would be
who's going to say no? Who's going to say no to singing on your record?
And I'd like to think that I was that cool, but it's just not.
You sit on a throne, and they all come in and kneel.
Right. Bring me grapes.
Right.
So what I did was I called Iggy Pop. Ozzy was the first call that I made. Alice Cooper, who actually is on the record, but on the UK version.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's Alice Cooper, Flea, Steve Adler, and Nicole Scherzinger. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
She can belt it out too. Let me tell you.
How come those aren't on the American version? Why do you hate the U.S.?
No, it's because I had there's 14 tracks on the U.S. version. The U.K. Put out this special release with Classic Rock magazine for the first month.
And can we get
that?
And
they really wanted the exclusive on the Alice Cooper track.
Oh, I got you.
Can you get it? Yes. Well, it's an import right now.
Okay.
It comes in this bitchin' magazine, and you just get it with the magazine. And then it'll come out sort of via the regular distributor with Roadrunner.
Eventually.
Yeah. No, next month.
Next month,
yeah.
All right,
anyhow.
Nicole Scherzinger.
I didn't finish answering the original question.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So I called all the guys that I knew, right, to sing, and I knew that that would be the safest bet.
Right.
And then, like, Chris Cornell, Kid Rock, Fergie, people that I know but I don't know that well, I went next because I got my courage up.
Right.
And then I felt so ballsy, I started calling people I didn't know. Andrew Stockdale was one guy that I'd never met. I didn't even know what his name was. He was just the guy from Wolfmother.
Right. With the giant afro.
All right, just to get that across.
Okay. By the way, that's an unbelievable song, too, The Sword. And we're going to be hearing a little piece of that and some more from Slash's record coming up here in a minute on the Kevin DeBeach Show. But I have to ask, because with Nicole Scherzinger, nobody looks at her or watches Pussycat Dolls videos and goes, wow, she's a hell of a singer. Everybody looks at her and goes, I need to meet her. How can I do it? And that's what's going on here, right, Slash?
Well, no. What happened was we did this song with Alice Cooper called Baby Can't Drive, and it was about sort of your modern young adult girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the BlackBerry and driving in the car and, you know, using her knees to steer and texting and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I thought, you know, it'd be great is if we sort of had a call and answer where you actually have the character that is the girl and Alice is sort of the older person. I was trying to think who sounded bratty enough or who was young enough and sort of represent. And
pull that off.
And I thought Nicole Scherzinger. I'd never even seen the Pussycat Dolls. I just know the one song from the radio.
Right.
But so she came in and we gave her the lyrics and then she just belted it out, changed the whole trajectory of what I was thinking about, but it came out really cool. So,
one more thing before the break, Slash. You must have grown up as a guitar fan, and guys like Ozzy and Alice Cooper must have been idols of yours.
Oh, of
and
course.
How crazy is it that now you can, you know, pal around with them and for God's sakes be in a studio recording? I mean, you're still a fan in addition to being a musician in your own right.
I'm a big fan. You know, it was, I think, just from years and years of hanging out with these guys and jamming here and there. I've been on a few Alice Cooper records, and I played with Ozzy a bunch of times. Been mm-hmm. friends with Lemmy and played on Motorhead records and Iggy Pop as well. So I've established a relationship, even though they are my ultimate heroes. It was, you know.
You've done charmed. So many different amazing things. Does it all start to mash together? I mean, is one stand out above another?
Well, I mean,
you really have
I
had an amazing career with a lot of amazing musicians.
I think, you know, everybody, I appreciate the, you know, the whole amazing thing, but, I think, you know, getting playing with James Brown and Ray Charles were, you know, big high points. But then playing on Iggy's Brick by Brick record was a huge thing for me. Playing on a Motorhead record was a big deal. So I really love to be able to be in that sort of position to jam with all these different guys.
Jam with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, Michael. You know, Michael was awesome.
It's really just really an amazing career. Slash is in the studio, and we're going to come back and play some give you a taste of his CD in a second, and we'll continue on the Kevin and Bean Show. What just happened?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Slash is in the studio, and we're going to come back and play some. Give you a taste of his CD in a second, and we'll continue on the Kevin and Bean
That's
Show.
That's a tough word today. Huh?
What just happened?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Oh, it was 5 minutes ago. Come on now. How fast are we turning those around?
Omar couldn't wait for that one. Come on. Poor Slash, by the way. He's out promoting his new solo album called Slash. And this week he's been working like a dog. He's been on Leno. He's been on Craig Ferguson. He's been on George Lopez. End of the week, least professional show he's ever done. It's kind of a sad way to round up your week. I'm sorry about that, Slash.
It's all right.
Sold out tomorrow night, I guess, your show. People can't come to that. But you are doing the video shoot. That's happening. Is
that
something that
people... actually when I leave here.
Oh, today.
Okay. Yeah, today. Is that something people can come to or no? Is that
that's,
private?
That's what you would call sold out, too.
Okay.
So, okay. So you can't come to that.
We do have an audience, but we got everybody that we needed.
You solicited already. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the new record. You explained how it came to be. What a all-star lineup of guest stars. We want to give people a taste of what it's like, and we're going to start with a little bit of the Ian Asprey song, which is one of my two or three favorites on the record. He's the singer of The Cult. What's he doing now? There is no more Cult, right,
no,
Slash?
The Cult still actually does some tours and stuff. So they're still together, but he's got a lot of stuff going on. He was telling me about it when he was in the studio. It's all very left field and eclectic kind of stuff. Which,
what a great voice Ian's got, though.
Yeah,
right?
He's amazing to watch in the studio. It's like completely effortless, you know, for listen him to get to, that drama. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to a little bit of this. This is the lead off track of the Slash solo album. This is a little bit of Ghost.
That's a great lyric. Kill the ghosts that hide in your soul, rock and roll. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's why I don't love lyrics.
Where do your riffs come from, Slash? Do you just noodle around on a guitar until you hit upon a sequence that sounds good, or are you a guy who wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, I got it, I got to write this down?
There's all those different scenarios. That particular song was an idea that came actually before Scott came into Velvet Revolver, was where that song originated.
Oh, is that right?
And it just never came to be, and I always thought it was a great riff, so I resurrected it.
You know? Nice.
But sometimes the Iggy Pop song was actually a piece of, like a riff that came to me while I was, like in a dream, believe it or
is
not.
Is that
right? I know
right?
That sounds so cliche, but it did. And it stuck with me, and I remember getting the guitar out to make sure I remembered it. You know, and sometimes it's just noodling, and sometimes it's something that gets in your head that you're, you know, whatever you're doing all day, this thing just starts pounding away in your head, and then you pick up a guitar wherever you can find one, and there's all different kinds of scenarios.
I think the most famous story in that vein is the one that's been so widely quoted about Keith Richards saying he woke up in the middle of the night, turned on a tape recorder, laid down the first four bars of Satisfaction for the Rolling Stones, yeah. Then went back to sleep, and when he woke up the next day, he didn't even remember doing it, and thank God he had a recorder for it.
But, yeah, it happens, and it's always good to have some way of you know, getting it down so that, you know, spontaneously you can get it recorded, because you will forget.
Beautiful Dangerous is the song that Fergie sings on. Now, Mike, host of Loveline, Fergie, this is your song, right? This is the one you like the best on the record.
I did, and Slash was telling me about how much he really liked this tune, and like I said, I'm a guy who has Ozzy and Lemmy tattoos, so I was you know, humoring him, sure, Slash, whatever, I'm going to like the Fergie song. I got in my car, I put on this album, and lo and behold, it is an amazing track, and I love it. I think it's one of my favorites on the album.
This is Beautiful Dangerous.
Yeah, she's got to dump those Black Eyed Peas. It's time for a change for Fergie.
I mean, the deal with Fergie is she's actually a rock singer, and she just never had the opportunity to sort of make it. It's hard for girls to pull it off in a rock band.
Yeah.
So she's great in Black Eyed Peas. When I first met her, We were doing a gig at the Avalon, right? And well, Black Eyed Peas were doing a fundraiser, and they called me up and asked me if I wanted to be one of their mini guests that night.
Right.
And so I got down to sound check, and they said, "We're doing this rock medley, and Fergie's going to sing it." I'd never met her, I'd never seen her, but I knew a couple of the songs on the radio, and I assumed that she was like Puerto Rican or black or whatever, because that's what she sounds like in the Black Eyed Peas. So we're doing Black Dog, and she walks in and she gets on the mic, and it blew my mind. And a little,
really?
Little,
that's coming out of her?
White girl from Orange County. Anyway, and so that stuck with me, and I've jammed with her a bunch. And when I was making this record, I had this one song that actually was a piece of music I wrote for a score in a movie for a strip bar scene. So I called her up, and I said, "I've got this song, you know, check it out." And so she heard it, and she loved it. And then she came down to my little garage where I was doing the demos at and put down that vocal. As good as that.
Wow. You know?
And
that's
I was
amazing.
Like, wow, this is cool. So,
all right, we need to take another break. Can you stick around
for
more?
Oh, you're a bad person. We're having a conversation with the Slash here.
All right. We'll take another break. We'll come back. We have some more clips. We'll talk some more about the album. Slash is in studio, and we will continue on the Kevin and Bean. Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:53. We're calling a variable here. We're supposed to do showbiz, but we don't care because Slash is here.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk with Slash some more.
I see Adam West's name right here.
Yeah, he's going to be after the top of the hour. We're going to talk to Adam West. You want to stick around for that?
Are you a big fan of TV's Batman?
I think Adam West is great. He's a survivor.
He's awesome.
He is.
He's amazing. And the guy's 80 or 81 years old and as sharp as ever, too.
He doesn't look it.
I know. We love having him on the show.
Super funny, too.
Yeah, he does a lot of cartoons. And he's just, you know, he's cool. Great.
Family guy.
He's the mayor, yeah. Slash is here. The new solo album is just called Slash. If you're just joining us, well, first of all, you're lame. You should have been listening from the beginning because he's had some fantastic stories about all the people that are on the record. We're going through some of the tracks so you get a taste of what it is before you buy it, and you should buy it. Right now, we're up to the track by Andrew Stockdale. He's singing lead on a song called By the Sword. Who's got the bigger hair, you or the guy from Wolf Mother?
Actually, he did have the bigger hair, but he just cut it.
Did he really?
And he looks really good, and he grew a full-on, you know, like a mountaineer beard.
He's got to have hair somewhere.
Trying to bring that back?
He looks killer, though. Yeah.
The first time I ever saw him was at a Coachella festival, and I was far enough away that all I could see was his giant afro bouncing up and down. But what an amazing voice.
He's got an amazing voice. And you know what? On top of that, he's one of these guys who is one of the last real solid rock purists. Like, he's really into, he's got his roots down, and he knows exactly what things should be like and what he's influenced by, and sticks to his guns. It's very cool to see.
Is that why, didn't he fire all the other guys in Wolf Mother and hire all new guys?
I know that he's not, I don't know if he fired them. I think there's something happened with those guys, and he did get new guys.
They all got in car accidents?
I think it was a little bit more personal. I'm not sure of the whole story.
All right.
Although
it doesn't matter. All right.
Slash, you wouldn't know how to be in a band if there weren't tons of drama and lots of people being fired, right? I mean, that's pretty much normal for your career, right?
Yeah. I mean, bands are drama. You know, you think you have drama at home when you join a band.
You know? Well, this is a great song. I think this is another one of my very favorites on the record. Andrew Stockdale from Wolf Mother singing on Slash's song called By the Sword. Listen up. Be in another band with a permanent lineup again, Slash? Or do you think you want to?
Velvet Revolver is still together. We just.
All right.
What happened was.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
No. That's definitely true. We had a meeting last week, so we have plans to get together next year, depending on what Duff's doing with Jane's Addiction. And I should be done with this tour. I'm about to go on the road, just so you know. And so in October, we're going to stop, and then. We get together and see where the singer situation. We've very quietly been looking for singers while all this other stuff has been
going
on.
That seems like a difficult
thing because you're looking for somebody who's got roots like, say, Andrew, and that's a rarity, you know, where you get somebody who really has understands rock and roll and what it means and what it's all about.
Tell me about being in the studio with your friend Duff and your other friend Dave Grohl and how this song ended up on the record.
Are you going to play it?
Yes.
Maybe.
You said how this song. Like,
I'll play it if you want first. Either way.
Either way. All right, up to you guys.
I'll just fill the void here.
Okay.
Anyway, well, what happened was, this is actually a good story. I had this really cool riff and, you know, some chord changes and whatever, and I had it pegged for Dave to sing it. And Dave and I, you know, I had to track him down. He's hard to track down.
Yeah.
We had this fun. We have kids that go to the same school. So there was a fundraiser, and they wanted me to get Dave to come down and play. You know, and I had my little Slash's Blues Ball band come down and do the gig. And
right.
So Dave came down, and that's when I nailed him. I said, I want you to sing on the song.
This is at a middle school?
Kindergarten.
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 Danielle, wow. Anyway. The only group of people that don't know who Slash and Dave Grohl are.
Right?
Probably.
No, they do because we're parents too, so.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sure.
Anyway, but, so what happened was I got him and he goes, dude, I hate singing. I definitely don't like singing on other people's records. I mean, I do my thing and, you know. So, but I'm playing with the Crooked Vultures right now and I'm playing drums and I'll play drums on it. And so I wrote it into an instrumental and.
Whoa, with the.
Yeah, good, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Anyway,
he's a good guitarist.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's how it happened. You know, three takes, I think it was.
And really?
Yeah.
And it's called Watch This?
Watch This, not Watch This Dave.
Why does it say Watch This Dave on the...
There's a lot of typos on the Slash's first printing. I released it myself. Give me a break.
Okay, so Watch This is the name. Come on.
And we're back on the Jim Rome Show. isn't it funny that a guy like Dave Grohl, by the way, who's a great singer, he's got a fantastic rock voice, an amazing performer, he's sold tens of millions of records. I don't really like singing. Isn't that weird that he would tell you that?
A lot of singers are very shy about what they do, you know? So a lot of singers don't like to sing on other people's records.
But,
and they'd like to, you know, make sure they're covered. You know, you can't see them when they're in the studio doing their own thing.
Right.
You talked about earlier how you don't like to be on stage without your guitar. I mean, you don't like singing. Is there that much security in having your instrument there and being on stage?
And a top hat and having your hair in your face. It works for me.
It's all to hide?
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking, you know. I'm not that extroverted. So, you know, there's an energy that comes when you're up there. It just comes innately from just that whole playing, and it's natural, but right before you go on, I'm petrified. You know, but singers, some of them are really outgoing, like David Lee Roth type guys, you know.
Right.
they just love to be out there, and some of them like to sing their songs and just put up with the sort of big publicity of it,
but don't like that
don't
part
really
it.
Like it.
Yeah.
Is there any difference for you, Slash, whether you're playing for 20 people or 100,000? Because I know you've done both.
It doesn't matter. It could be two people or 20 people.
Come on, two people?
Well, yeah, actually it's worse with two people. Like, I don't play around my house because I think somebody might be listening.
You know? And what? You'd be embarrassed by your playing?
No,
I only play the Rose Bowl,
when people are asleep or if I'm, you know, like totally in a room where nobody else can hear me.
Okay, so, you're a weirdo.
Yeah. But check it out. I played with Dave last night. Dave played,
with Dave Grohl?
Yeah, me and Dave and Lemmy. And we did Ace of Spades. Yeah, it was cool.
Wow.
Good times. Well, the record is well worth checking out. It's available, of course, on iTunes and Amazon MP3, or you can buy it in an old-fashioned store if that's what you want to do. That's what I did on Tuesday. I was at the Best Buy putting down my bucks for you, Slash.
Thank you.
But cool. People are going to like it. They really, really are going to like it. It's
I think it's a
fun.
Cool record.
And next Friday, you're going to be doing the national anthem at the Dodger.
Is it Friday?
The Dodger, next Friday,
I know,
I
it's the 16th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've actually,
national anthem.
It'll be my second time doing the national anthem for the Dodgers.
Does that scare you?
Standing, I mean, that's even worse. Doing a sporting event, and I've done a couple basketball, for, you know, done the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You're standing by yourself in the middle of, you know, 80,000 people, and you're just playing this thing, and you can't screw it up because they'll throw, you know, beers at you. And
you're Al Qaeda if you screw that one up. Yeah. It's not just missing a note.
Is it as difficult to play as it is to sing? Because everybody that sings it says that's an impossible song to sing.
The thing is to play it, like, a lot of people want to do the Hendrix version, which
right.
made sense at the time, but like nowadays we don't have that kind of political thing going on, and what you really want to do is play it so that people can sing along with it.
Right.
So you're playing very simply. So for lead guitar players, you want to go off, but you really you probably shouldn't. So you want to play the notes accurately, but with as much feeling as possible, so it really hits you in the heart. And that's, you know, it takes an effort.
We've been doing this show a long time. I don't think we've ever had anyone give advice on how to play the national anthem at a Dodgers game before.
It's true. Well, you know, like Zach did it last night at the Revolver Awards, and he did it with, I mean, it was like blazing. And you just,
Zach Wild,
every so
about.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, Zach Wild. And every so often you'd hear the actual anthem in there. And then the rest of it was all, but it was really bitching. But if you do that at the Dodger Stadium,
right, that's a different
everybody game. It's and, like, you know.
Then you're Roseanne Barr, right, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's all trying right. to sing different parts.
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
Outstanding. Please pick up the record / continued success, my friend. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
really
it's
enjoyed
to,
you stopping
good to
by
be
today.
Here for sure.
Thank you. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was having just huge amounts of sex, like I do. And I mean, I was just nailing down everything
sure.
that moved.
Yeah.
And again, like I do. And it was fine. The girls all loved it, of course. But gross. I felt a little empty afterwards because I didn't feel like there was a way for me to post on the internet where and how I had made sex. Like that was what was required to really make it feel like I was done.
Well,
is if there was only some sort of opportunity that I have to brag to the whole world about where I'm getting laid.
Is this where I do my part?
This is you, yes.
Well, Bean, we have just the thing.
You're telling me that IJustMadeLove.com is a real thing?
That's correct. And we have the creator, Cyprian Sheikhsimwitzes, on the phone.
Cyprian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, guys. Hi. I'm pretty good. Thank you. So
did I say your last name accurately?
Oh, it was very close. I mean, right. It was almost there. It's Chichkish, but yeah.
Yeah.
Chichkish.
Nope. There's way more letters than that.
You are in Poland, sir? Where are you?
Yes. I'm in Poland, Warsaw, right now.
Okay.
Very good, sir. All right. IJustMadeLove.com. How would you describe that to our listeners, please?
You know, it's a place on the web where you can see where, you know, something beautiful happens, you know, anytime on Earth. So that's how I would describe this. You know, it's a place
so
for people to share their good moments.
So when that happens, they can go there and they can tell you what city. Do they put in the coordinates? What do? They put in an address?
You can do it two ways. We actually have two ways to do it. One way is to use your laptop and your internet and go to the map, zoom into wherever you made love, like, you know, put your address and stuff,
right. Mm-hmm.
Highlight your house or whatever you did it. Or the funnier way to do it is actually use your cell phone with the GPS. We have applications on cell phones.
Oh, I see.
And you can actually press one button. We will, send a GPS coordinate to the internet and
I got you.
It will show up on the website.
Now, is that all you do is show where you did it, or is there more?
Oh, there's more.
Well, there's a little bit more. You know, we wanted to, you know, put some more spicy details. You know, so you can, you know, highlight like what positions you made on, you made love with, you know, what place exactly, like inside, outside, in the car, in the boat, or something like that. And you can tell us, you know, your orientation and did you make love with condoms or was it your first time? Those are kind of details.
At that point, I'd like to suggest: do we need to know whether they used a condom?
Actually, you know, I think it's a pretty funny statistic, but yeah.
Yes, but
somebody needs to know this.
I'm saying that might be one piece too many. One piece of
now. The question that I have, Cyprian, and you haven't mentioned this so far, is where do I put in how much I had to pay?
Oh, lovely! You can put it in the comments.
Just in the comment section. Okay, good, because nobody's handing it out for free. I do know that much. Now, IJustMadeLove.com. I'm on the site right now. It says that currently you have over 116,000 couples that have checked in already.
Couples.
How long has the site been up?
Oh, the site has been up a year because we created it in May 2009. And
okay.
We got a lot of interest from people about 3 months after we created the website because we had a really hard time to advertise the website. Nobody would actually want to advertise it because, you know, of this spicy, you know, erotic
sure.
kind of thing.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. We're happy to share this with our listeners. This is right up their alley. Now, some countries on your world map have zero people making love. What's up with that? I mean, why aren't there people in, Morocco or Norway or Greenland who are posting?
I think the problem is with the news about the website. I mean, not everybody knows about the website, so it wouldn't be true to say, you know, they don't make love. but it's more of, you know, newspapers and blogs and things like that didn't, you know, advertise there. So
is it true?
I think that the actual least country that made love is Africa. Like, not the country, but the place where people make...
Well, and it's funny because the one thing we know about Africa is they have plenty of people. They just don't have a lot of internet. I think
they
that's what's going on.
A lot of laptops, too.
I don't think they have
a laptop.
But I don't think they have much internet. Hey, where if you know Cyprian, and if you're just joining us, our friend is on the phone from Poland talking about his website, ijustmadelove.com. Where, if you know, sir, where in the United States is the place where you have had the most people check in from having sex?
Well, so far it's just New York area.
New York?
Sure. That makes sense.
Just because of the number of people, probably.
Right, right. You know, this makes perfect sense because before the internet, you would just call your friend. That happened to me. Like, literally, we got done and the guy got on the phone.
Nice.
Or still just laying in bed to call his friend.
Dude, you'll never believe it.
Hey, I'm laying right here.
I know.
That's awesome.
So at least now you can be a little sneaky about it.
Is it true that you can put up photos?
No, you cannot put photos anymore. We did this option at the beginning, but it wasn't that good. You know, people would post inappropriate pictures, and we didn't want to, you know, make a website inappropriately. So
you don't want it to be porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't be perfect, Cyprian. All right, well, I think it sounds like a great idea. It we are getting to the point here in the 21st century where people don't think something is real unless it somehow lives online. Every single thought has to be on Twitter. Every single place that you go or thing that you do or person you meet has to be on Facebook. And now it's even gotten into the bedroom where it has to be on ijustmadelove.com. I mean, that's the way the world is going. And I wish you a great deal of success with the site. We find it very entertaining, Cyprian. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys, for asking.
Cyprian Siekiewicz.
Good.
Coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll talk to a school district that is interested in keeping knowledge out of the schools. I think that's an interesting approach. Also, we'll talk to a Winter X Games 14 athlete for you, dating deal breakers, and funny man Kevin Nealon, all straight ahead. That's a lot of show. That may be too much for one Kevin and Bean program,
yeah,
I think.
I think so, too. First, though, Victor Fuentes, our favorite 911 call in a long time. I mean, this dude really eclipses even the woman in the Carl's Jr. drive-thru or whatever. It's not making her hamburger right.
Fire department, operator 75, what's the address, please?
16121. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
16121 Harris.
Is it a house, apartment, or business?
It's a house.
What city?
In Compton.
What is the cross street at the corner of Harris Avenue?
Alondra.
What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want them to take the ambulance, take me to the hospital, and that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
19 years old. You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut.
You fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
Too much information and man.
Well, we need to get the information so we know what ambulance to send.
Bull.
You've been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple.
All right, listen real carefully. We're on the way out to your house at 16121.
Yes. Hey, you don't got to bring all that siren and you just come like quiet and
oh, yeah, okay.
Pick me up and that's it. Turn to a memorial hospital.
That's where you want to go?
Yeah, just let me. I got insurance and all that piece.
Oh, fantastic. They don't think they'll really care, though. They'll try to give you the best help they can.
All right, Holmes.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good. Do you have any other injuries? Yesterday you said your hands are cut up. Any other?
My lip.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have any severe bleeding, like a real bad bleeding, or is it...
My fingers.
All right. Is that under control now?
Yeah.
Okay. How about broken bones? I feel like you broke anything.
Yeah, I feel my hand. Like, I can't move my fingers and
just try to sit still and don't move your hand at all because we want to x-ray to make sure it's all right.
All right, Holmes.
All right. How about amputated parts or impaled objects? Anything you cut off or anything still sticking in your skin? Like a piece of wood or glass or anything like that? Any nausea or vomiting? You think you're going to throw up at all?
No.
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin? Like are you going into shock?
No.
Okay.
But like going to sleep and
well, sit there with the phone right now and wait for us to get there to help you out. If anything changes, just call us right back, okay?
All right, listen.
What's your name so we know who we're looking
for? Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor. We'll be there in just a moment.
All right, listen.
Bye-bye. fire department.
All right, there you go.
Look, I understand 911 operators have a script, but don't you think the guy would lead if he had amputated parts? He'd lead with that. He would bring that up before my hand hurts.
I have a 2x4 sticking in my stomach.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot to tell you about that.
So, Victor Fuentes, since we've been playing that 911 call, has become a little bit of a folk hero. But I understand you have an email from a listener who would like to hear more from Victor.
Yes. Dear Kevin and Bean, after hearing the 911 call of Victor Fuentes, I thought it might be great to hear Victor talk to your friend Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So that would be a Kevin and Bean instant request.
Listen up, everyone.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
All right, so first let's say hello to Rudy. Hi, Rudy. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
What's up, dog? Hey, how you doing, Lisa May? What's up?
I'm good, Rudy.
And Victor Fuentes, are you there? Can you hear us okay?
Hello.
All right. Good. Rudy, meet Victor. Victor, meet Rudy.
Hey, well, Victor, what's up, man? I hear, like, Kevin and Bean told me you live in Southern California, fool.
Compton.
You live in Compton. All right, well, what's your address?
16121. Hello.
Hey, chill out, fool. Chill out, man. Hey, do you like the Raiders?
No.
Well,
what?
Do you like the Cowboys?
No.
Do you even like football, fool?
No.
Damn, man, you sound kind of mean. Have you been drinking?
Couple.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of drinking, dog, they got this new Budweiser that already has the lime mixed in it, and then it all has, like, chili peppers in it. It's pretty bomb, dog.
Too much information. Man.
Hey, man, chill out, boy. You're being kind of a dick. Hey, man, like, well, I'm going to be in town. I'm going to be near Compton. You feel like going to a club or something?
Like going to sleep and
damn, man. You kind of sound like a bitch. Are you even a guy?
I'm a male, motherfucker.
You know, to be honest, though, you're kind of funny, fool, so, like, maybe we can hang out a little bit later.
All right, home.
By the way, my memory's, like, crazy. I've been smoking a lot of weed. What was your name again?
Victor Fuentes.
All right, fool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like offensive.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, that band playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and Kate Ginther just won tickets to the Weenie Roast.
Doesn't sound like a real last name, by the way, Ginther. I'm suspect of that.
Your tickets are coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 10 minutes after 8.
After the hilarious segment with the Ask a Mortician last hour, I'm looking forward to livelying things up with hilarious comedian Tig Notaro joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and noted best-selling author currently on the New York Times bestseller list this week, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Silverman. Oh, both ladies in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about
I can't believe she's here. She's way too big for this show at this point.
I just heard myself. There you go. Sorry. Hi.
You know, you've
Hi,
been
Sarah.
Here before, right?
Oh, the sound of my voice is so grating. Happened to me in the morning. It's a little too much.
Mike, make sure you she's talking right in.
You said it, sister. All right, let's get this thing worked out.
Hey.
All right.
There we
Tig,
go.
Can you hear us and can we hear you?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, so you're here. That's how it's done. All right, fantastic.
That's and, my we've been married for 40 years voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be like right around the corner from somebody and be like, yeah.
All right, well, we have a lot of ground to cover, a lot of things to catch up with you ladies about. First of all, you are lovers, and I think it's great. Second of all, what brings you in here together today? What's up with that?
Well, first of all, thank you on that.
And they go everywhere
Second
together.
Thanks for outing them. And secondly, we are here because Tig is doing a show called Tig and Friends that I'm producing.
Sarah's the executive producer.
Yeah, but I mean, what is that really?
What
I
does
don't
that
know.
Mean? Yeah.
It means I make some calls, send some emails out, make sure everything's together for the thing.
Now you're the man.
And then if anything good happens.
Now you're the CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're ruling now.
But really,
you're my boss.
It's just like when somebody's like, some little starlet is like, and I'm the producer.
Right. It's like that, sure.
Except I'm not a starlet.
But Sarah, I have to say, she gets on the horn and she gets stuff done.
Does she? She gets on the horn?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
If she didn't get on the horn, where would Tig and Friends be?
Same place. Same thing going on.
Same place, same time, same cast.
So no difference?
No. No.
Would we be on Kevin and Bean right now?
No, you're right.
Well, no, I got this booking.
That's true. All right. For folks who haven't seen Tig and Friends at the Largo on La Cienega, this is not the first time you've done it, but this is going to be the best time I hear coming up on Tuesday, June 1st.
Oh, I thought you said, but this is going to be the last time you'll do it.
No.
Oh, we don't
know. It's so funny. I don't even know how to describe it because it sounds pretty basic, but
it's not basic.
No?
No way.
All right,
well, you describe it then,
it.
Tig.
All right, let's not.
What
do you think it's
Sarah
all about,
describe
Tig?
Describe it first, and if she messes up, I swear.
We'll each take a turn. How much time do we have?
About a minute. Go.
Tig and Friends is Tig will interview the cast of a show, but before that, she'll bring each one out, and they'll do a little talent, you know, a little hidden talent, and we just did it with Parks and Rec, and it was very funny, and then she interviews them as a cast, but her questions are
ridiculous.
Really, really ridiculous. And almost unanswerable.
Right.
Awkward. And then she awkward, goes into good. The crowd, and there's a Q&A, which is like an earnest Q&A, right. But Tig is...
I Phil Donahue the place. I go out there, and I am very interactive.
The kids are going to totally get that.
That Phil Donahue reference?
No, that's a great reference, because he's been off the air for 20 years now.
Okay, so, I basically am like an old man that goes out into the audience and interacts with the audience.
With the audience.
Taking questions.
Okay.
With a liberal slant, and she's married to Marlo Thomas.
Well, that is true.
So it's an interactive comedy experience. Huge fun, especially this Tuesday, if you are a fan of Party Down, and I know a lot of people love that cable show because you've got Adam Scott, Megan Mullally, Martin Starr from Party Down. They're going to be your victims up on stage.
And Ryan Hansen.
Ryan Hansen will be there too.
That's correct.
So they come out and they do wacky stuff with you, then you do wacky stuff with the whole group, and then the audience gets a chance to jump in and do wacky stuff on their own with these people.
That's correct.
Wow.
And then I do some wacky stand-up.
And by the way,
He said that a lot better than you did, Sarah. Just throw in wacky.
It's not a competition.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So anyway, it's really wacky. And it sounds like it could meander, but it's a tight show, you know.
Doubt that.
It's like an hour. It's like an hour, and it's... It's super fun.
Yeah, it's monthly, sometimes every other month.
Depending on the executive producer and
right.
how
where
many times she gets on the horn.
Where she's getting off to in her helicopter. Yeah.
How do you get a show to participate in this? Is that you, or how do you?
Well, I mean, for Party Down, I mean, I'm usually friends with somebody, or Sarah has reached out, as the executive producer,
sure.
She's reached out to other shows. And
she gets on the blower?
That's right. And
blower.
For Party Down, Megan Mullally is a friend of mine, and
Adam Scott's a friend of mine.
And it's not a competition.
Nice callback.
Thank you.
Let me just say this though, there aren't a lot of. Let me rephrase that. There aren't a lot of reasons I can think of to want to live in Southern California. But if you love comedy, it's the best city in the world for that because stuff like this happens all the time with one-of-a-kind get-togethers that you're not going to be able to see anywhere else and it's not going to be on TV. And so often, you know, you people get together and it's just hilarious stuff. And it's a great opportunity for people to come down to a small room and see a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see all you people together. I
so
support it.
Back?
That's what I'm telling you. No, I'm not doing that.
He's coming
but
back.
I am saying, it is the type of thing that you have a real it's a great entertainment option for people who are listening to us in Los Angeles. That's all. Don't miss it.
If this show was going on in Denver, people's minds would explode.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I know it is true. And especially at Largo, like they always have like crazy, cool, weird stuff involving, you know, people you don't get to see live usually.
Yeah, it's in the big theater room, which is 280 seats, and it's beautiful. Absolutely.
Tig and Friends is this Tuesday, June 1st, or is that this coming Tuesday, or is it a week from? I don't even have my calendar.
No, what's today?
Today's the week
Tuesday. Yeah, it's a week from
Tuesday. So that means it's a week from today, then. A week from today.
See you next Tuesday.
And we're going to be coming in here every day.
It's at the Largo, La Cienega Boulevard. Call 310-855-0350 to get tickets right now. We'll take a break more with our friends Tig and Sarah after this on the Kevin. Comedian Tig Notaro in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Sarah Silverman also with her. You can see them both at Tig and Friends a week from tonight at Largo, La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles. It's going to be a great live show. By the way, Tig just mentioned during the song that she doesn't have the Twitter. Is that possible?
It is possible.
How are you in show business and you don't have the Twitter?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it not possible?
No, you're good.
It's not possible.
Don't worry about it.
Somehow I've been...
Don't worry about it. You're good.
Show business didn't exist before Twitter.
I am on Twitter. Have you guys... are you guys on it?
I didn't know you were.
Yes.
Louis C.K. has been so funny the past few days, and he usually never writes anything.
Oh, I don't follow him. I have to check. All I know is that last night, Sarah, you threatened to murder your dog if more people didn't buy your book. And that was too vague for me to be comfortable with, because how many copies do you have to sell after a tweet like that before Fido gets it?
No, I don't. You know what? I just, like, I never, I hate doing that, but, like, the book company will be like, it'd be probably helpful if you tweeted something, you know, and then, so I'm just like, I just write something, you know, but,
So you aren't really going to kill your dog, that's what you're saying.
I probably will eventually in the next two to 3 weeks, but, that's just because he's, you know, angling towards 16 and...
He's had a good life.
Yeah, I feel like he's had a good run. I just think it should just end, you know, like The Sopranos.
Brutally.
It's brutally dark. On your schedule, not on his. We haven't actually talked to Sarah since her book came out. I mentioned when you sat down that you are in the top 10. I think you're like number 6 or something like that in New York Times bestseller. Yes.
I was
you
number
knew that.
7, but... I was number
maybe
seven.
Seven.
I think it's dropped down to like 14.
Well, the last time I saw you were number 7, and I was very impressed with that because I know you, and I don't know any people who can do that. But Bedwetter, Stories of Courage, Redemption, and Pee is the book. I saw a lot of your promo tour for that. Did you ever make it on Oprah like you hoped?
No. I don't think she'd have me on, but
because
I
know
just
that was the goal.
Her.
She would never have you
on.
You did?
You just met her?
Yes!
Where?
I sat next to her at a restaurant.
No.
Her and Gail.
I'm so fat.
And
she ate a lot, yeah.
It was like a dream. I need to, because it's early.
Did
it
you?
It definitely wasn't a dream. It was like 2 days ago. And
Am I your Gail?
You are my Gail.
Yes. That's so beautiful.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you say anything to Oprah?
Our eyes met.
Right.
First of all, Gail came over and sat. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest.
All right.
Yeah, please tell us, because this is you don't hear very many Oprah sightings. This is fascinating to me.
I was with two other comics, Mark Cohen and Henry Phillips.
Okay.
They came over. I had nothing going on that day. They came over. We smoked a little hooch.
Sure, right.
Hooch?
I don't think you smoke hooch.
Is that liquid?
Yeah.
Smoked pot.
That's what a hobo drinks. Yeah. Hobo drinks hooch.
So you smoked some alcohol.
I took a puff of pot, which I never do in the day.
Right, ever.
But as a treat, it's been a long time. I had the whole day free. I go, yeah, all right. Then I go, let's go to this fancy restaurant for lunch. But we look like homeless people.
What restaurant?
It's called, like, the Soho House.
Oh, yeah.
It's right
yeah.
by me. Yeah, right? So we go there. The guy sits us right next to Oprah and Gail.
Okay, so they're already in the restaurant when you guys walk in.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, okay. My God. And the guy who sat...
Are they holding hands?
No, they're with Sidney Poitier.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Kind of a
wait,
bizarre...
that's the biggest reaction.
I know. I wasn't.
They didn't react that much about Oprah.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest. I only didn't mention it because I was, like, embarrassed to say... Poitier.
Yeah, because it's Poitier. A difficult word to do just right.
Yeah,
I understand.
You feel corny, like,
sure,
I don't know, but...
But it adds
to
the, it must have been a dream.
Way. That's his name.
It
right.
must have been a dream. I mean, it's
it
starting
like
to sound weird.
It was like
and a Viking.
I mean,
sitting.
Really, Oprah is our... Yeah.
And they had a lizard on a leash. It was weird.
Oprah is our Sarah Silverman.
No, Oprah's like the queen of England. I mean, she's like the queen of here. You know what I mean? It felt
she's
so yeah.
sort of
like,
royalty.
No, she is.
She's the closest thing we have to royalty.
Even
absolutely.
To
she's the
Cohen?
Biggest. She's the biggest celebrity in America. Okay, so you sit
me.
Next to her. Now, does she have any idea? Does she look over and recognize you, Sarah? She must, right?
What happened first was Gail came over for a couple minutes and said hi. And she was really cool and seemed like an everyday gal.
Right.
Was Oprah not there yet?
No, she was
she
there.
Was there.
She was eating.
And she walked back and then... Oprah looked, turned around, and our eyes met, and she got up and started walking towards me, and then I got up and met her halfway because I felt like, and then she just...
Was it in slow motion?
There were no words. She just embraced me.
Oh, my...
She hugged me.
Really?
And, like, it felt so good in her arms, like her like this side...
She was giving
shape,
you life?
Her, like, giant bosoms, like, smushed against me. It was so maternal. Like, I felt like Mother Nature was holding me. And I
did you get
like,
lost in her folds?
And really, I let go. I just kind of was, like, dangling in her arms like a baby. Like a baby in, like, one of those baby Bjorns. And she went, Sarah Silverman! I swear to God. And it was, like, on Saturday Night Live or something. And I go... I just didn't say anything, and then she let go, and I walked
fell
back to my
ground.
Chair, and I said, I'll be over here if you need me, but she didn't.
So you didn't mention, like, I'd like to come on the show sometime.
I have a book out.
Wait, wait, wait.
A lot.
So she just,
that would be so cool.
She just sang your name in the restaurant, and then you just turned around and walked away?
Yeah. You know what?
She gave you enough life force. It was a dream, wasn't it?
No, it was real. It was real. It really was real.
So you touched the hem of her garment, and then you went back and just sat down and just thought about it for the whole rest of the day.
Well, and then, like, Cohen and Henry and I just looked at each other like, oh, my God, I'm so high.
We spoke too much.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I think eventually we're going to find out this whole thing was just she was high.
Are you sure it wasn't just a fat black woman?
What?
Oh, I'm just saying, are you sure? Because you were...
Yeah, I am sure.
It was really Oprah. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It was really exciting.
Well, that's the best story I've heard all day. That's awesome. I love that.
Whoa. Have you ever heard the Three Bears?
That's a good story, too. I'm not going to take anything away from that.
Okay.
But we didn't hear it today.
All right.
Right. So, I mean,
Tig and I were doing laundry at the washing machine. It's called the washing machine. We used to do laundry, together, mm-hmm. and I was putting...
My laundry.
Yeah, well, we were doing Tig's laundry. I was putting her stuff into the dryer, and it honestly, I looked at it, it was like the laundry of a tiny lumberjack. It was so cute.
If she didn't know she was there with me, she would have thought that there was a little tiny lumberjack.
A tiny lumberjack. That's how you dress?
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, pretty casual, I
Why does it take two of you to do one of your laundry?
Because I'm her Gail.
Do you think Oprah and Gail do laundry together?
I'm certain that Gail does her laundry at a laundromat.
At least in some sort of euphemistic
way.
Well,
and I have to say, I have a washing machine at my house now. Well, things have really changed.
Wow.
I don't. Mine's in the hall.
Ooh.
Sarah's moving down, you're moving up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
all right.
Sarah was doing my laundry like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Well, I think we hitched our star to you, Tig, at just the right time. We're going to be saying goodbye to Sarah and stick with you now, I think, now that we see the direction your careers are going. So, all right. Well, listen, we're out of time. Tig and Friends is
not.
What? We are. We really are. It's 1 week from tonight at Largo on La Cienega in Los Angeles.
No, it's not tonight.
No, 1 week from tonight,
Will
I said.
You two
1 week
from tonight. So he can plug it.
Zip.
Please call this number, 310-855-0350, or do any kind of a Google search for any of the words in the preceding sentence, and you can buy tickets to see the show. Guys, thanks for coming in. We enjoyed having
you. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and not just because Omar's intro is so awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to ask a flight attendant.
You travel around the world. We have so many questions for you. People have sex. A fat dude, what do you do? I just want to ask a flight attendant.
Oh, we're gonna ask
you. Gonna ask you questions, baby. Gonna ask you questions, baby.
Okay, that's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole, with a K, is a Virgin America flight attendant. You'll see her tomorrow night on Fly Girls on the CW at 9. Nicole joins us.
Hello.
In
Good morning.
Hi, Nicole with a K. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Your parents do that name, or is that just your dancing name, the Nicole with a K? Tell me about that.
My pole dancing name.
Oh, okay.
No, that's my real name.
You are, for reals, though, a Virgin America flight attendant. You're not some model slash actress that they cast to play one on a faux reality TV show, right?
No, we were all Virgin America flight attendants for over 2 years before we even got the casting call for this.
Wow. So what's the deal? What's the deal on the show? It's, tell me what we're going to see.
You're going to see five girls from all different lifestyles. We have a single mom. We have me, the crazy drama queen. We've got a quiet Marilyn Monroe lookalike. We've got the babyface Mandy. And we all just happen to work for an airline, the greatest domestic airline, Virgin America. So it follows us in the air and on the ground.
It sounds awesome. Now, we're going to take some calls from our listeners who have questions for flight attendants. And I hope you are prepared, because most people don't love flying anymore. I'm sure that you get a lot of grief from a lot of people in and out of the air with how difficult
it is.
Well,
I'm lucky because everybody loves flying Virgin America.
Virgin is great. We flew Virgin to New York, and it is, if you're going to fly,
if you're going to fly domestic and you're going to fly to one of the 10 cities we fly to, fly Virgin America for sure.
It definitely helps.
I'm not getting paid to add my endorsement to that.
I heard you're an Alaska man, so.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to mention any other airlines because they may or may not be proud sponsors of the Kevin and Bean Show. I have been flying a different carrier for a long time, but your free Wi-Fi got me to switch to Virgin.
Yes.
And I do love it. I will tell you that if Lisa's right. If you have to fly, Virgin is the way to go.
You can Facebook, Twitter, text, work the whole time.
That doesn't make it any easier, though, with all – I mean, there's so many crazy restrictions in the air that people, I'm sure, ask about all the time. What is the deal, by the way, with how you can have computers capable of flying a 747 across country, yet you can't use a cell phone? What is the deal with that?
You can actually use a cell phone. We just don't allow it.
Thank you. Please don't let people start talking on their cell phones on their planes.
The FAA did. I don't believe they haven't approved that yet. They just don't want people talking on that phone.
Be a nightmare. Okay.
But I did. I was in first class working, and I heard a guy go, "Mom, can you pick up my dry cleaning?" And I walked by. I thought, that is so weird. And I realized he was Skyping on the plane, asking his mom to pick up his dry clean. I was like, yo, you can't do that. Disconnect, man.
Because you're not allowed to use anything that transmits. Basically, that's what they say.
Correct. So no transmitting signals or Bluetooth.
Okay, how come you have to put, if you're just listening to an iPod with headphones, no transmission, how come you have to take that off for takeoff and landing? What's the deal? I mean, how can an iPod in any way interfere with the plane's delivery?
Takeoff and landing are the most crucial phases of flight, so we just want your attention. That's it.
I see.
It really has nothing to do with anything else, but that we want you aware of what's going on.
Okay, that makes sense.
What has the Virgin America policy been, and did it change at all after the highly publicized Kevin Smith getting booted from Southwest Airlines for being too fat?
About that in the magazines, my favorite reality gossip magazines. But I don't really know what happened to him because I wasn't there. But we love
what happens
all
on
guests.
Your flight. I mean, you must have passengers that get on that you got to have concerns about from a safety standpoint, right?
No, I love all our guests. They can buy one seat, they can buy four seats, they can buy as many seats as they want. We have people who buy seats for their animals, so.
Is there such thing, though, as too fat to fly if somebody gets in a seat and they are just spilling over? I mean, do you deal with that on your flights at all?
That's what a seatbelt extender is for.
Wow.
But what about the people that sit next to them and get all smushed?
That's life.
I have a quick question about filming in an airplane. How in the world? I mean, it's such cramped quarters. How did they do that?
They did a great job. They stayed mainly in the back of the plane and used those long lenses. We had microphones on us, and the guests are really cool. They were really, you know, half the time they were watching TV, so they didn't realize we were there.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Nicole, why'd you want to be a flight attendant?
Oh, gosh, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a flight attendant. I grew up watching them on TV, just like those famous movie stars. And I thought that they were gorgeous and strong. And they were the kind of women that got up and went to work on their own. It seemed like they did everything very independently. And I wanted to be like them. I was raised by a single mother, so I guess I kind of wanted a career that I could just do on my own. Like, I didn't need any man or a husband or...
I understand the draw of the travel. I understand, hey, it's awesome that tomorrow I'll be in New York for free. But it's not a very glamorous job to do day to day, is it? It seems like it's an awful lot of minutia that you have to keep track of, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of, you know, dealing with the public, which can't be fun every day.
Yeah, trapped with the public.
Picking up trash is not glamorous, but shopping in New York is. So I take the trade.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take your calls if you want to ask a flight attendant. Nicole is here, Virgin America flight attendant. The show is called Fly Girls. It airs tomorrow night. For the first time, it premieres at 9 on the CW. Let's hear Omar's intro one more time and take a call before the break, shall we?
You travel around the world. We have so many questions for you. People have sex. A fat dude, what do you do? I just want to ask a flight attendant.
Oh, we're going to ask.
Going to ask you questions, baby.
Let's squeeze in Joshua real quick, and then we'll come back with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Joshua is on line two. You are on with Nicole with a K, Virgin America flight attendant from Fly Girls on the CW. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Bean.
Hi, Josh.
Nicole and Lisa.
Hello.
I have a question. I was watching a movie last night about Commando, and you know how the part when he kills that guy?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's a long, long way to wherever they're going. What do they actually do when that happens in real life?
Wait, when a commando kills
what
a guy
do I do
in
when
flight?
I'm in an army Whoa. Fighting?
No. I think his question is, what do you do if someone does die in flight?
Yeah, like, what do you guys do when that happens, like, when a person actually dies in the plane?
Do they still get their miles, for instance?
Of course they do. No, you call for medical assistance, and we have MedLink. So you get doctors on board, or you get doctors assisting you. And I'm not a doctor. I just help the person hold their hand, and we land the plane as quickly as possible. That's all.
I mean, I don't know what you were expecting her to say. They don't throw them out.
Don't worry, Josh. I'll hold your hand if you get sick.
Cover him with a blanket.
Cover him with a blanket.
Land,
you don't tell anybody. I don't know. I've only had people usually hung over from Vegas, so
you haven't had anyone have a heart attack or anything.
I have not. No.
As a flight attendant, you also get a certain amount of basic CPR training too, though, right?
We do. We go through a very intense safety and training. We have to be approved by the FAA. We have to follow all the guidelines. But again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just there to assist.
No, of course.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Your job is unlike a lot of others in that you learn so much stuff in training for worst case scenarios, like in the event of a crash or in the event of a water landing or something, things that you have to know how to do and are probably tested on. But your whole career, you will almost certainly never have to use any of it, right?
Yeah. The day of graduation, I was like shaking from all the stuff that I had learned to prepare for. I was like, do I really want to get on the plane? Oh, I don't know what to do. But you're right. We don't use any of it.
I was curious if captains try to hit on you guys all the time. Because it's, I mean, you guys are in close quarters a lot. And that's a job where there's a lot of attractive women involved. Mm-hmm. Are they as perverted as they seem when they get on that microphone and tell me about my flight?
You know, I think any job you go to, coworkers tend to flirt with each other.
Yeah.
It's just human nature.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to deal with it all the time.
Yes. I know. I mean, they pick up on you all day here, right?
Totally.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you have a question for Nicole, it's your chance to ask a flight attendant. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Too much yelling! It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's 8:25. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the return of the band Hole. That's Courtney Love and some hired hands. She's calling them Hole. The song is Skinny Little Bitch. We'll play that for you coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of skinny little bitches, the beautiful Nicole is in the studio.
Oh, thank you. I wish.
She is a Virgin America flight attendant. The show is called Fly Girls, premiering tomorrow night on the CW. Nicole, for folks who haven't been to the website yet, I recommend you go. Kind of look, Mike, am I right about this? Kind of has a Minka Kelly vibe.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit of a Minka Kelly look, which is maybe the best compliment I can give a woman.
Aw, thank you.
All right, we're taking your calls. If you want to ask a flight attendant, 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear from Omar, shall we? Mercifully, the short version.
Thank God.
Let's try Leroy, line 5, please, calling Nicole. He wants to ask a flight attendant. Leroy, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, Kevin Bean.
Hi, Leroy.
Hey. I wanted to know, what do you do when you catch people trying to join the Mile High Club?
Let's see. From the stories I've heard, we do absolutely nothing. There's no way I want to open that door and find out what's going on. Yeah. I think they just say, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, we'll be right out. So, if you can fit in those tiny bathrooms with another person, go for it.
Thank you for the call. The only time I've ever been on a plane where I was aware that somebody was in the Mile High Club, they did not go into the restroom. They were right in their seats.
Wow.
Doing it in their seats. It was super, super late night flight from Las Vegas, and they were under a blanket back in the days when there were blankets on
planes. It's like two kids in a movie theater, huh?
Right.
Exactly.
I got a quick question. Since you guys walk up and down the aisles with those carts, what happens when you guys have to fart? Do you ever just crop dust the entire plane? I'm being serious because a lot of times I really feel like the flight attendants are crop dusting and they're not saying anything, and then I'm stuck with the blame, you know?
Why would you take something as beautiful as a Virgin America flight attendant and turn it ugly like that?
Nicole, tell me you haven't crop dusted.
I don't know. Maybe those boys do, but probably not us girls.
You've never crop dusted.
I have no comment.
Can't believe you asked that question.
Let's try Chris. He's on line 7 calling the Kevin and Bean Show today. I'm sure he has a question that you hear all the time, Nicole, but let's get it out there for everybody else. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. How are you?
Good.
Good. Quick question. I know I've seen it a lot in the movies. I want to know if it's true in real life. If, say, you're sitting in coach or second class, sometimes they'll invite you up into first class. Is there something that you can do to make you stand out that can get you invited into first class?
The only thing you can do on Virgin America is be in uniform. So we invite all our military and uniformed.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we do. If they're in uniform, Navy, you know, whatever it is, Army,
Yeah, they can sit in first class.
But
if
for a civilian, it's pretty difficult.
For a civilian,
to
you got
to
whip out
right?
that gorgeous credit card.
Thank you for the call. Hey, we're going to take more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Definitely.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask you this about the reality of a flight attendant. I'm sure people all the time ask you what it's like as a job. Is the pay pretty good, and how are the hours?
We work a lot and we play a lot, so. The fact that we can travel to, say, Seattle, like where you are, spend the day walking around the city, get to have a hotel for free, you can't exchange that for any price of money. So the life that we're allowed to live by being a flight attendant is priceless.
What's the worst part about your job?
Oh, the worst part about my job, probably the lack of sleep that I get because I'm having so much fun on my layovers.
We're going to see some of that on the new CW show. It is called Fly Girls, premiering tomorrow night at 9. We've got time for one more round of calls. If you want to talk to Nicole with a K, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's back. Skinny little bitch. That's new from Hole on 106.7 KROQ. It's 836. Latest from Courtney Love and Hole here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to Ask a Flight Attendant. Nicole with a K is here. Time to take some more calls for her. If you've always had questions about either the job or why things are the way they are in flying and what crazy things they've seen, 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
You travel around the world. We have so many questions for you. People having sex. A fat dude, what do you do?
Nicole with a K is a Virgin America flight attendant. The show is called Fly Girls. It airs tomorrow night for the first time on the CW at 9. By the way, it's going to be very weird for you starting Thursday at work when people start to recognize you from the TV show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just be happy instead of hey you or hey miss, they can just go Nicole. And I was like,
right.
Yes.
We're going to get right back to the calls. You were telling us something fascinating during that last song, by the way, which really shocked me, and that's that, because Virgin America, which is an awesome airline, it's like air travel 2.0 if you haven't flown on it yet. Everything is like so futuristic almost. You got those private little entertainment centers at each seat, and somebody was asking you about what you're allowed to watch because you've got other passengers nearby. You're telling me that somebody can watch porn on a plane if they want?
Well, we have all different types of movies, so we have R-rated, PG-13, PG, and if you pay at your seat, you're allowed to order whatever movie's showing. We do have parental controls, so for all the children on the plane, we can set parental controls, which means they wouldn't be able to watch any of that stuff. But, you know, if you have your laptop with you, you can watch pretty much what you want to watch on your laptop.
And complaints from other passengers, though, if somebody were to do that, I would imagine.
I think most people like that in their private time. So I think most people save that. But if you needed to check something out, yeah, you could, I guess.
I have a quick question.
Maybe you missed your wife at home and she made you a little something-something.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I have a quick question that doesn't involve sex or farts.
Thank God.
You get a lot of access, a lot of easy access to planes. How deeply do they investigate your past before you become a flight attendant? Can you have felonies and stuff like that?
We did do a full background check. All I know is that I was approved. I have no idea what they found.
All right. On that topic, let me ask one more thing, and then we'll go to the phones. Do flight attendants know which passengers are the air marshals?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah. We have to know if there's anyone on board with
that
type. Correct.
You need to know, right?
The flight deck knows, of course, yeah.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Josh. He is calling on line one for the beautiful and lovely Nicole with a K, thanks. Virgin America flight attendant. Josh, your chance to ask a flight attendant. Go ahead. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Nicole, if you've ever hooked up with a passenger, whether after a flight or you saw someone attractive, if you've ever made a move or a guy's made a move on you.
I've gotten plenty of napkin invitations, yes. Guys love to write, will you call me, on their little napkins. I meet great people all the time. So there's been a couple of nice people that I've met.
Really? Do you have a policy that you won't date a passenger, or are you kind of open for it?
When I first started working, I had no policy. And then I went on a couple of dates, and now I do.
Oh, no. So those guys ruined it for the rest of us, basically, is
what
you're
saying.
They did.
They ruined it. I went out, and I found myself a man. I was like, no more dating on planes. I'm getting a boyfriend.
All right. Thank you for the call, Josh. Let's try Tony, line two, please. Ask a flight attendant. You're on the air. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi. This is probably a pretty common question that you get, Nicole. Have you ever had to deal with snakes or Samuel L. Jackson on your plane?
I haven't seen any snakes. I've seen some men that resembled snakes. That's about it.
What about Samuel L. Jackson?
I haven't seen him on our planes yet. That'd be pretty cool.
Thank you, Tony. Hey, what about celebrities? Do you see a lot of them in the course of your duty?
I've seen a few. I hear about a lot of them. We're a great airline.
Even as a professional, even as somebody who is in the service industry, it still has to be a thrill when you show up for work one day and there's Brad and Angelina sitting in first class, right? I mean, something like that's still got to kind of be fun, I would imagine.
You think it would be, but they just want to be served. They want to watch their movie. They want to enjoy their flight. So they just turn into everybody else.
Yeah.
Have you had situations where you've had somebody, I assume, sitting in first class, and then the other passengers on the plane kind of wanted to get to that person to meet them or get an autograph or something?
No, we're so lucky because everyone has headphones on, and they're either on their computer or they're watching live TV. I mean, Monday Night Football, who cares who's in first class? I watched the Super Bowl live in the air, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
That is pretty cool. I forgot about the live TV. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, let's try, I got a couple more questions about the job of being a flight attendant. Let's try Monica. She is on line 7, calling the Kevin and Bean Show, on with Nicole from Fly Girls on the CW. Go ahead, Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi. My daughter's a senior in high school, and she has been telling me she wants to be a flight attendant forever. So how do I get her to become a flight attendant?
To become a flight attendant, all you have to do is go on the website of the airline that you want to work for and see if they have any applications, if they're accepting. And you just fill out the application. Then you go to, usually they have like a once a month thing where they have an open interview, and she just has to be her loving, beautiful self and smile, and I'm sure she'd get hired.
Is it tremendously competitive, though, with like, a thousand people show up for every job, or how tough is it to actually be chosen, Nicole?
When I showed up to my interview, I think there was 30 of us in the room, and they ended up picking whoever they wanted. It could have been one that day, or it could have been all, 20 that day.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Just who they thought was right for the job. And the great thing about Virgin America is they don't go off if you've been a flight attendant for 20 years. They go off your customer service skills. And that can be if you've worked at Starbucks, if you've been a corporate job, if you've been a stay-at-home mom. It's just if you're a nice person and you want to help people, they hire you.
Do they have education requirements? Do you have to be a college grad or anything?
Nope.
Wow.
I tried college, but I didn't like it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, speaking of hot flight attendants, for years, it used to be they only hired young, hot women for the job. And then people all started complaining about that and saying it was sexist and ageist and everything like that. So then they just started hiring beasts. I mean, every plane you went on was beasts or gay guys for the longest time. It's so true. It used to be such a disappointment because that was one of the best parts about flying. Now it seems like, thanks to Virgin America, started to go back in the other direction where we're getting rid of the old and the fat people. I just want to say thank you for that. It's a great trend that we're looking into here.
People who are amazingly beautiful on the inside, and it just shows from the outside.
Bean.
Yeah,
that's why they're doing a show called Fly Girls about five Virgin America flight attendants, because they're beautiful on the inside, right?
We are.
That leads me to my next question. Are any of the other girls that you go back and you go and work with in your everyday job now, are they bitter that you guys got selected and they treat you bad now?
No, they're not bitter. They're not mad. I don't know who wants to be on a reality show. Honestly, that is one tough gig to sign up for. Because now the whole world is going to know my insecurities. The whole world is going to know how I do things poorly and how I make mistakes. I mean, I'm so far from perfect. Believe me, I wake up and I look ugh. It takes a lot of work, all that makeup and that hairspray.
We didn't need to see that.
Yeah. I doubt that.
Well,
you will.
Just
wait.
All right. So Fly Girls tomorrow night at 9 on the CW, and it is in the air and also on the ground. It kind of gets into your personal life and going out and the interaction with the girls, the other girls, as well as in the rest of your private life, right?
Yeah, it's great. We never want to look at ourselves in the mirror, so that's what the great thing about reality is we can watch other people's lives.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm watching. Tomorrow night. Can't wait. Nicole with a K. We love you. Thank you so much for coming down the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Ralph has a final look at the Showbiz Beat coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we turn our attention to the big game. $3 million a commercial to get on the Super Bowl. And it seems like they're turning away more than they're accepting this year.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen a year where so many commercials have been rejected by the network, this time CBS.
Well, you know, GoDaddy always gets censored. They always say, oh, you can't play that. It's too sexy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And which so is then, ridiculous, by the way.
Right. So then they put them online or whatever, and they have to do an abbreviated version of it or whatever, a calmer version of it. Now they're talking about Dante's Inferno, the video game. They're not happy with the fact that the tagline says, go to hell, at the end of the ad.
Really? That's too...
Well, it's Dante's Inferno, though. I mean, it's set in hell.
So the ad has been revised to instead say, hell awaits.
All right.
And, of course, everybody knows about Man Crunch. Everybody's heard that story. CBS is telling Man Crunch that they do not want to air their Super Bowl commercial where two guys are watching the Super Bowl and they reach for popcorn and their hands touch and then they start making out.
Right.
And by the way, if you've seen the spot, it's available widely online. They're not making out at all. I mean, it's the fakest kiss you've ever seen. It's a guy basically burying his head into the other guy's neck. I mean, there's no man on man. But I mean, I guess the network is just trying to be safe. They don't want to field 1,000, you know, emails and phone calls from parents going, why do I have to explain to my kids why men are kissing? I guess. And then, of course, the one that started it all for the 2010 Super Bowl was the Tim Tebow commercial. His mom, Tim Tebow, is a University of Florida college football star and Heisman Trophy winner, I believe, wasn't he?
I think so.
And his mom was counseled to get an abortion when she was pregnant with him, decided not to, and the commercial was, hey, I'm so glad. Holy mackerel, I'm glad I didn't abort him. So the commercial is all about how awesome, you know, life is, and you should, you know, think about the human being that your fetus will become, and that one, of course, is not airing either. So it's been nothing but controversy so far.
Are they accepting ads, or are they just turning them all down left
no,
and right?
No, they can afford not to take any, apparently.
Yeah, I guess it's just going to be Muzak for 2 minutes every time they go to a commercial. Nothing to watch.
So we did some research, and we found some other commercials that have been banned for the Super Bowl this Sunday. Eli Manning, for example, for the NFL's Play 60 Youth Fitness Program. This commercial has been banned.
Okay. They love
Eli. Hi, I'm Eli. NFL Play 60 for all the fat kids. Don't be fat, because then people will pick on you and push you down, and girls will never touch your pee-pee. So take it from me, Peyton Manning. Hi. Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. I'm in the Super Bowl.
What? Nope.
I'm a Super Bowl quarterback. Throw it to me. Hi.
Eli, you gotta stop telling people you're Peyton.
What?
You can't tell people you're Peyton.
Oh, I'm not Peyton. They made me say I'm not Peyton. I wish I was. I hate Peyton. I want to be in the Super Bowl. Oh, look, a penny.
Apparently that one not accepted.
Well, that's bad for his image, I guess. That's kind of sad.
Here's one for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Apparently they wanted to advertise.
What could be wrong with that?
In the Super Bowl. It's an ad for responsible drinking.
Yeah.
With David Hasselhoff.
Hey, everybody. David Hasselhoff here. I hope you're enjoying the Hoff Time Show. Hey, listen, the Hoff loves to rock, but if there's one thing I've learned over the years, if you're tailgating for this party, drink responsibly. Don't get behind the wheel of your Coche Fantastico if you've had a few cocktails. Make sure you drink responsibly like me. Oh, that's good.
Oh, this is a mess. How far is the hotel from the Super Bowl? Do you get rooms there? Average. Oh,
how do they not play that? Doesn't that say don't drink more than anything you've ever seen before?
I would think so. Don't be like David Hasselhoff, sure.
And finally, we found another ad that has been denied access to the Super Bowl. This one is for an online dating service, and its spokesperson is Sean Connery.
Hello, this is Sean Connery. Are you single, lonely, looking for love? Then go to SeanMatch.com. Well, I'll partner you up with someone who loves to... Or, for you ladies, someone who likes to take their and stick it in your Yes, it's true love with SeanMatches.com. I'll even find you someone who likes to your
What?
So please join SeanMatch.com and find your perfect partner. Tough.
How's that one not okay?
Good question. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Joe Rogan, very funny stand-up comedian and UFC announcer, is going to join us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll have him for the next hour. By the way, he's talking smack about you in the other room, Psycho Mike. He's saying you would not have been able to finish the gummy bear. How about that? Even if we had legally been allowed to let you eat the world's largest gummy bear. He says you wouldn't have finished it. I think that sounds like a challenge to me.
He's wrong.
Well, let's bring it in. Trip.
First, though, on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin, why do you hate the Jews? What's going on
I
here?
Don't at all.
Well, what? I don't understand.
What, don't say
why
that.
Why are you complaining about Modest Yahoo all the time? Oh, Jewish man can't get on the radio?
Here's the thing about that. And Modest Yahoo, of course, is... Okay, so I...
From 5 years ago, by the way, that song.
That song, for me, when it came out, was just okay. And now we've played it a lot, and so now it's kind of annoying. But it's nothing compared to his blog that gets sent to my email every day. Now, I get signed up for ridiculous things by other people all the time. Every single NASA update that they send out, every single one. And it works out to be about 50 a day I got signed up for.
Who signed you up for this stuff? If it's not,
random. I know Money signed you up for a bunch
Money
of
signed
stuff.
Me up for a gay dating yep. website. You know, people play pranks on me or whatever. And usually, I can go in. Now I have it set up so all the NASA email just go to my trash, and I don't
you
have
never
to
see it.
Don't have to worry about it. Yeah. And then you know the other one, the gay dating website, I kept just in case. I got to have options.
You got to have options, sure.
You know, but the Modest Yahoo one, I keep getting an update that he's written a blog. Now, if you know anything about me, I'm not a big blog fan. I don't need to go read a lot of blogs. And if I do, I'll track it down on my own. Thank you.
Yes.
Can't stop his. I can't. It's not possible.
You can't block it.
It says unsubscribe if you'd like. Tried it probably 20 times. Unsubscribe.
I've heard those never work.
It's unbeatable.
Yeah.
This blog, Modest Yahoo's blog, is unbeatable.
Have you, and of course you have, but just because the listeners are going to be asking, you've set it up so everything from that email address automatically gets
yes.
deleted or goes to your junk file. And what happens? Do they change the address that they send stuff from?
They must. It gets through every time. I've tried like five different things. And like I say, I'm not dumb when it comes to computer. I can block people, and I've learned how to, and I put them in the list, and I've got these rules.
It's not that hard.
Right, simple. Not with him. He's unbeatable.
Dude, so God what, does not want you to blog.
What's Modest Yahoo up to, though?
I don't read it.
Have you been reading the blog?
I don't know.
What's the latest from that dude?
I wish him well. I hope he's having a fantastic life. I don't want to read his blog. I just don't want to.
Well, I have good news, bad news for you, Kevin. Modest Yahoo's on the phone right now. We've actually got Modest Yahoo standing by here on the Kevin and Bean Show to discuss what's going on in his life and why he won't take you off his email list. Modest Yahoo, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. And hello to you as well, sir. How are you?
Shalom. How are you doing, Kevin and Bean? How are you?
We're
good. That's good to hear. Joe, what's the problem?
Did we call Jackie Mason? What's going on here?
Nice, Jackie Mason. Good reference.
That is a good reference.
80-year-old comic from 70 years ago.
Modest Yahoo, here's the thing.
Yes?
I hope you're happy, and I hope you're having a great life.
I hope you're happy, too.
But... Do I have to read your blog? Is it possible to get off the list?
First of all, I heard you when I was on the hold.
Yes.
Which you're talking about the computers.
Right.
And you said that you were not stupid when it comes to computers.
Well.
So let me ask you this. Is your numlock on by any chance? Is that what the problem might be?
All right. Sometimes I make boneheaded mistakes.
Okay, yes, and so you're saying?
But I've tried like 15 things to get you out of my email, and the last one I tried sent every single email I got to the trash.
Oh, you sound like a whiz with the computers.
But I'm saying I've blocked others successfully.
Listen, boy chick, let me tell you something.
What is your secret?
Listen, let me tell you a little something.
All right.
Okay.
God loves the Jews.
Right.
And so he's sending the information to you because he thinks you need it.
Oh, yeah. I see. So I can't block that if I want to.
That's right.
Okay.
You need a little Yahoo in your life. And God is making sure that you get it so that you'll be spiritually complete.
Oh.
And you'll know the bliss of Hebrew reggae.
While that is exciting news, I think your customers, your fans, should be allowed to have the option of receiving or not receiving your materials. I think I have to agree with my man Kevin on
Listen,
this,
I don't give people what they want. I give them what they need.
Oh, I see.
And they need more Jewish reggae.
All right. All right, so
everyone needs it.
I've tried 5, 6, 7 things. You're telling me nothing will work.
I'm saying just sit back, relax,
okay.
And absorb it. And take it in,
and learn more about me and what I do for my day. For example,
yes.
This morning I'm going to Cantor's. I'm going to get a nice matzo ball soup.
Right.
And then take a little nap.
Right, and I hope you have
That'll
a great...
That'll be right there for you waiting when you come home in your mailbox on your computer.
But I hope you really enjoy that, but I don't really need that kind of minute-by-minute update.
Then we're off to the kosher grocers.
Okay.
Then I'll get a little crepe lock.
Right.
I'll get some gefilte fish.
Right.
And nice fresh matzo, because I right. matzo I got is stale. Nothing worse than a stale matzo. You break a tooth.
That's what I've heard. Right, but I'm saying again, like, I don't need all of that information from you.
I understand. Mm. What I'm telling you is, you do need it.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Hold right. on, I have to blow my chauffeur. Hold on a second.
Okay.
What?
What is Yahoo? Yahoo? Yeah? Yeet. What's happening?
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes,
did you call
was.
Me Yahoo?
Yes, and then Yah. We were trying to get your attention because that was a long note.
Try this. Yahoo!
Let's talk about getting in trouble for stuff that you you put on your Facebook.
Yeah. So I took down all my gay porn.
There are three different cases right now that where they have been the courts have been dealing with. What do you do if a student that's not at school does something on Facebook or MySpace
yeah.
or whatever?
Okay.
Some of them, one of them got suspended, and the court overturned her suspension a couple of years later. She apparently took her teacher, Catherine Evans. I'm sorry, that's the student's name. She took her teacher and she said, "Miss Sarah Phelps is the worst teacher I've ever met." And then she put a picture up and she asked everybody to write in their
comments
and stories about her how bad she was.
Feelings of hatred, as she put it.
Right. Yeah. So they suspended her at the time. The court overruled it, said she wasn't at school, she didn't interrupt school. That seems to be the big thing about school is disruption of school. That seems to be their
but
big
what
issue.
What about libel? I mean, that is a...
Just
there are libel
worst teacher. Yeah. Well, that's one of the
but
ones.
But not if you form it as an opinion. If you're not forming it as fact, it's not libelous. Not,
yeah.
There was another dude who created a Facebook profile, said the principal took drugs and kept beer at his desk.
Okay. That could be a libel situation.
Yes.
Unless it was true.
Unless right. it was true. But that's not the one that really got it. The one that got
but even
it
that
was,
one was ruled there wasn't a substantial disruption at school. It didn't interfere with school
huh.
business.
Right.
Yeah.
There was one that got ruled against. And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you got, you know, if you got in trouble at work for something you put up
yeah.
on Facebook.
That happens
we,
a lot.
We did have a meeting where we were told everything we do anywhere online can be scrutinized.
Still representing the company.
Company.
Yes,
yeah.
Even if people don't know who we are or anything else, right. which seems a little scary.
So I took all my Wang shots down.
But the last one may have run into trouble when the profile insinuated that the principal was a sex addict and a pedophile.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pedophile. Oh,
pedophile.
Fine. That's but sex addict, that is crossing the line.
That's the one where they ruled against and said, yeah, maybe that person should get in trouble because that's the kind of thing you can't really say.
Plus, it directly attacks their ability to perform their job at school, you know?
And it makes them harder to pick up kids.
That's true.
So that makes it difficult.
You don't want to give the kids a heads up.
So
then they start wearing those tough to pull down pants.
So those are three recent cases that have happened where students are getting in trouble by what they put on Facebook.
But for the most part, it seems like the courts are standing up for people's ability to voice their opinion via the internet. And this is brand new territory, you know.
Yeah.
For years, it's been in print and, of course, on broadcast media like television and radio. So, a lot of these lawsuits and these decisions are setting precedent for how the internet is being treated because this is new territory.
Yeah. I'm less hopeful than you are about that. I think it's going to turn. For some reason, it just seems like every new technology comes along, little understanding at first, then they start, I don't know, firing people. Like, for example, let's talk to Benicio. Is that your name? Benicio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
You got fired for a Facebook?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
What happened?
What happened was that somebody set up a page. Somebody set me up, right? And he made a MySpace, and he, that person, he
he practically threw everybody under the bus in the company, and the rumors just started spreading. And that's
but rumors about what? Like affairs and stuff? Or what?
Yeah, affairs, people taking money, people stealing items from the back room. And they used that against me with any with no evidence, and that's what really cost me. That's what cost me my job.
But it wasn't you; it was somebody else.
Yeah,
posing as you.
Yeah, posing as me, and I tried to get a lawyer. I tried to get legal advice, but you know, nobody wanted to take my case.
They didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah,
yeah, you're very hard to understand. I hope the page was clearer than your story was. Well, at least it's cold.
Wow, you're hard.
Who knew what he was saying?
Man, dude's out of work.
Can you see this guy on the phone with the lawyer?
Kick a guy when he's down,
like,
Lisa.
The lawyer is trying to figure out what
too
is
much
he...
information.
All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Somehow you got in trouble for MySpace. You got in trouble for Facebook. You got
Twitter.
In trouble for Twitter. You know Twitter's going to happen soon. People are going to start getting fired.
Man keeping you down on the internet.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and today we're talking about stuff that you post online that gets you in trouble. It is new territory, as you mentioned, Kevin. I mean, and we've been aware of this for a long time. This is why when I set up Ryan Seacrest is allegedly gay, I was careful to put the word allegedly in the title of the website.
Sure, yeah.
You don't want to be, you don't want to be getting in trouble with stuff like that.
By the way, that's a good tip for every single person. If you put allegedly,
yeah,
you can say anything. Really, you can get away. Oh, I said allegedly. That means it may not be true. I don't know. That's the word you got to use.
Well, that's what we're hoping anyway, but I'm sure one day that, too, will come back to bite us in the ass, as everything else seems to do that we put online. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for stories like the one that Ralph brought in about the Facebook kid. We're looking for stories that where you got in trouble with work or school or somebody because of something you posted. Where do you want to go?
Well, let's start with Danny, who is, I believe, an employer. Hi, Danny.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm a manager, and we actually fired someone, actually me and my assistant, manager, because of slander, because he went on Facebook and he totally bashed my assistant manager, and we wanted to get rid of the kid anyway, so we just used that as an excuse. One of our other employees tipped us off that, you know, he was talking all this stuff on Facebook, and
right,
we just used it against him and got him fired.
How do you use that when you go to your higher-ups to justify you firing somebody?
Oh, slander, and what was the other one?
What
it had to do with, like, bullying, like...
Cyberbullying?
Yeah, pretty much. But we were saying that our assistant manager didn't feel comfortable at work because he wrote some pretty vicious things.
Right.
And he was just being an idiot about it because you're going to be friends with other people at work online.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not smart.
Was it about sexual preferences?
Are you talking about mine?
No,
because, yes.
The slander. The slander. Was it about sexual preferences?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
It wasn't about you and the assistant manager?
No.
Oh, allegedly?
Tree.
Allegedly?
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Oh, and Ryan Seacrest is a total, like...
allegedly.
How dare you, sir?
From one to another, right?
How dare you, sir?
He totally is. Come on.
All right, Danny. Thank you for the call.
Hey, let's talk to Aaron. He's on line six. He's got exactly what we're talking about. He's the guy who got fired. Let's find out what happened. Hi, Aaron.
No.
Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. You're on the air.
Hello, Aaron.
Well, it was my 18th birthday, and me and my coworkers went out to celebrate.
Right.
And this is a place that doesn't car me at all. I'm not going to say the name of the place. And we're doing sake bombs, doing sake shots, doing all the good stuff.
Were you underage?
He was 18.
Yeah, he was 18.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Come on,
and,
Lisa.
Sorry. So my coworkers took pictures, and then I didn't put them up for obvious reasons, but then they took pictures of me and tagged me on. And I'm a gymnastics coach, so I'm friends with some of my older students, the ones that are in high school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw a picture of me taking the sake bombs and stuff. And that got around the gym, and my boss called me in and fired me.
No kidding.
Wow.
So the short version of that story for folks who dozed off is there were pictures of you underage drinking that somebody else posted online. That got you fired from work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right.
The good thing is they hired me back.
What? How'd they hire you back?
Because I'm that good of a coach.
All right.
All right.
I have a friend who's a teacher in a private school, and her she's on Facebook, but she just tells everyone, please do not ever tag me in a photo.
Don't tag your man.
I don't have
tag
control over that.
Tag your man.
Right.
And
yeah.
Things
yeah.
can come back.
That's the thing that people don't seem to realize. Once a picture is taken, the worst that could possibly happen, most of the time will.
Right.
So, no, Kevin, that's bad advice. The internet is private. Once you put something of only you and the people that you intend to see, it will ever gaze upon it, and that's a guarantee.
Let's talk to Huntington and find out what he did. Hey, Huntington.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Huntington.
You have a snifter and an ascot right now?
What?
No. Never mind. You are poorly named.
What are you calling to add Huntington?
Well, my freshman year at college out at an off branch of Purdue back in Indiana, the pictures got up on Facebook, actually. I didn't even put them up there.
Right.
And
right.
It was me and some friends smoking a hookah. Like, straight up hookah, not weed, not pot, nothing.
Just a hookah pipe.
Just a hookah pipe. I went to my mailbox one day in the dorms, and I had a letter of eviction notice. And I was like, what? So I go to the housing, and they're like, we found these pictures. They're putting them on the table. They're like, you were smoking pot. You were doing this. There was a party. I was like, no way. I was like, number one, you guys can't even prove that. I told them, I was like, you know, drug testing, this or that, something. I had to take it all the way to the dean of students. I had to get 10 people to come in and testify for me that we weren't smoking pot. Because what they were trying to do, they were trying to kick me out of school and make me pay all of my housing and tuition fees. And I was like, no
way,
man.
They wanted your money anyway?
Yeah, they were like, you're going to pay and you're done. And I'm like, yeah, this is my first year of college, you know? I'm sitting there freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow.
You know? I didn't even do anything, but let's just say I allegedly got some pretty dope revenge on that guy at the end of the year.
Allegedly.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but he's using the word allegedly, so it's good.
It sounds like what Huntington is telling us is that guy ended up in a lake or something somewhere underwater, and he doesn't want to
took a dump nap.
Yeah, something like that. All right, poorly named Huntington. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. His parents, when they gave him that name, did not expect him to grow up and be that guy.
They had high hopes. Well, name him Huntington. He'll be classy and smart.
Yeah, I got dope revenge for that dude with my hookah. Woo! You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Strike Force Los Angeles happens tomorrow at the Nokia Theater. Frank Shamrock will be here to discuss, coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, very excited about this. This has really turned into a thing here, Kevin. Started out as just a, hey, wouldn't it be neat to see somebody try to eat a tablespoon of cinema?
Right.
Now it's turned into like climbing Mount Everest. Everybody in the building wants to do it.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't look that hard. That's what she said. You look at it, and you go, okay, it's a tablespoon of cinnamon. How is that impossible? But everybody that tries, I guess the trick is that it's too dry and too fine, and it doesn't mix with moisture at all.
Right.
So you can't swallow it like you would.
But you can
any
inhale
normal,
it. Well, which is terrible.
No, yeah, and that's definitely the reason why. And cinnamon, if you ever like put any in your coffee or anything, it just clumps, and you can sit and stir, and it just stays like this big ball of stuff.
But we have a guy here, Psycho Mike, who really is so overconfident. Like, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. Psycho Mike will go, oh, I can do it. It'd be easy, bro. No problem. Who's with me? I can do anything.
He has done a lot of food challenges successfully.
Destroying everybody. Stuff you won't even go on the air with because I kicked the ass of whoever you brought in to challenge.
That happens. We hide it a lot. So it's time for Psycho Mike to take the cinnamon challenge.
The cinnamon challenge. Beer mug.
His eyes are watering. He's shaking his head no.
Did you really think he was going to do it?
And that's why we did it. Oh, no.
We've got vomit. Oh, that's not how we wanted that to end.
Fail. Intern Gaga.
Eyes are watering.
I remember this.
Fail. Then Miss Cleo tried a new approach.
Plug your nose, that's it. Because cinnamon tastes bad.
And she even tried cheating.
Hey, you're breaking it into two.
I don't know we can break it into two.
Yeah.
Hey, doesn't Miss Cleo owe us some jumping jacks? Fail. It's been a long, hard road. That's what she said. Will anyone be able to conquer the cinnamon challenge? Will it be the most overconfident man who never thinks he's wrong, douchebag? Ladies and gentlemen, Psycho Mike.
All right, here's the important thing, and we will, of course, Lightning is here videoing this for KevinAndBean.com, and it will be up in an hour or so. But the important thing is, if you're trying it at home, don't take a spoon out of the drawer in your kitchen. It has to be an actual tablespoon, and that's an actual measurement. It's not fluid. It's not arbitrary.
More importantly, don't try this at home.
Oh, but if you do, I'm just saying. If you do, that's how the pros do it. Yeah. So, Psycho Mike, you have a tablespoon of cinnamon. You have watched the others at KevinandBean.com. You have seen everybody else fail. Cleo failed. Yeah. Gaga failed. Beer Mug failed. What are you going to do differently today?
Nothing. I'm just going to go just for gonna it. Just going to do it. And, but here's the are we sure this is a tablespoon?
Yes. We double-checked that, yes.
Okay.
It looks like a lot. I know.
No, I know. It does look like. And I know what a tablespoon is, but it's just like I don't trust Cleo and her measurements.
No,
and
no. We checked
milliliters
it
milliliters and cc's
right,
on here.
We did the we added it up when they both did it. Gaga swallowed twice, by the way.
Yeah, I don't have.
Whoa, hey.
I don't have a specific strategy. Okay. I'm just going to try and barge it. I know this is probably not going to be easy, but here we go.
All right.
Anyway, any rules I should know about? I mean, do I have a time limit?
We gave Beer Mug a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
And no one has made it to a minute.
Right.
They've all
given up.
Thrown up. Yeah. Not okay. Given up.
Does anybody want to get a trash can near me or something?
Sure. Just Lisa will, okay. Yeah.
All right. You ready?
By the way, Jose on staff here at the Kevin and Bean Show, IMs, my prediction, pain.
Yeah.
So let's see how you do, Psycho Mike. Good luck. The cinnamon challenge on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. He has tilted his head back, and he's got a mouthful of cinnamon. Moving it around.
Swishing.
Just swallowed. I just saw him swallow.
Hey. Wow. Psycho Mike seems like a guy, because of the extreme fitness addict that he is pretty good at mind over matter and being hyper-focused on the task at hand.
He just glanced.
He does a lot of stuff that you and I couldn't do because he's committed to it when he does it.
He did just glance at the trash can.
It's getting a little Kevin and I talked about this yesterday, and I said, I don't know, I think I might put my money on Mike, but
if it comes down to sheer will.
Yeah, then Mike's the guy.
Yeah, but it may not. How's it going,
Mike? But physically, it's still not a pleasant sensation to have that much cinnamon.
Oh, okay. Just
puff of cinnamon.
No reversals. No reversals.
Just came out of his mouth.
Can you make smoke rings when you do that?
Did he get? That's what she said. Did he get the big poof of cinnamon out of his nose that everybody gets?
Oh, no, not
like
the nose.
A bowl.
Not the nose.
But
just the mouth.
He just blew a smoke ring.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know how Mike is.
He's already gone further than anyone has at this point.
I don't know how he's feeling. I do know that it is riveting radio to listen to a guy swallow. I do know that.
Especially when you can't hear it. Yeah. All right. We are at about a minute.
He's actually chewing it, which I don't think anybody else did.
Shake your head.
I'm going to be impressed if he does it, because there are literally hundreds of YouTube videos of people failing at the Cinnamon Challenge. So if Mike does it, he is in the elite group of those who have conquered it.
Now, if he goes a minute...
It's over a minute now, but...
But that's okay, right?
Let's have him finish.
There's been reversal.
I don't know that they put
Nobody
that minute...
Nobody else could have done it.
Right.
Regardless.
And by the way, Greg Shamrock coming in a couple of minutes. Let's see if he wants to try it, too, since he's here.
I was going to say shake your head yes or no for... And when I said shake your head, he shook his head no. I didn't even finish. What?
I'm going to do this.
Are you done?
I think he's getting there.
You're going to do it. Wow. You're going to get a lot of dates out of this.
Oh, my God!
Did it!
Unbelievable.
What's up now, bitch?
Oh! And imagine how fresh and clean your poop is going
to
smell.
And I want Omar to re-record a new intro.
Wow!
And
you're
the guy who always keeps his word and ends up doing stuff that he says he can do.
What happened?
Very impressive.
Let me give you a rundown.
Yes. Right.
Yes, please, because we're dying to know what the problem is here.
Not only is it super fine and really hard, because it just every piece of saliva you have gets drawn into it immediately.
But it doesn't mix.
But, like ginger or anything else like that, that's super flavorful. It really burns. And once you get that first little poof down your throat, it hurts. I mean, and so you have to just power through that.
Okay.
And your sinuses go wacky and haywire, and you just got to kind of keep your composure. I did. I fully did it.
You did it.
Yeah, I crushed it.
He did
it. Was there ever a time that you thought you might hurl?
Not hurl.
Did you ever get that gag reflex at all from the cinnamon?
But spit it all back up for sure. Like, I mean, I thought that it was just too overwhelming for my mouth, and I was going to have to get rid of it. But
that's what she said.
But you know what you do?
What?
You rely on your heart, Kevin.
Is that
what I'm saying? That's what I learned in the trenches of Nam.
You never went to Nam.
USA, USA, USA.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:37.
Was that Justin Bieber? Did we just play Justin Bieber?
No, but this is...
I got Bieber fever.
You know, know, we've seen a lot of teen idols come and go, and they are around for a couple of years, and then they're gone. You never hear from them again until they end up on VH1 and a headband. But I don't get this Justin Bieber kid. I don't get why he's as popular as he is. He's fine. He doesn't make the worst records in the world, but there's certainly nothing exceptional about him. He's not the cutest kid out there.
Oh, I think he's pretty. I think that's what the little girls like. I think he's pretty.
But you know what I'm talking about. Psycho Mike, you deal with a lot of the girls at the teaching Little League and stuff like that. What's the deal with why are you so crazy over the Biebs?
No, you're exactly right. He is certainly talented and he's kind of cute, but he's not the greatest guy ever, and somehow he has tricked millions of people into believing so, you know?
And I will tell you, nowhere do you find this incredible amount of enthusiasm for Justin Bieber like you do on the internet. Go to any site, any day, and I don't care whether it's CNN or Al Jazeera, you're going to see a Justin Bieber story. You cannot get away from this kid. He dominates the Twitter, he dominates the Facebook, and his fans are just psycho. They talk about him all the time. And if you're at the point where many of us are, where it's too much, where you want to back off the Bieber, well, we've got an app for that.
Dude, I got to tell you, because I don't want to die, love him, and I think everything he does is great. So
it is
on
called
you.
Shaved Bieber, and let's find out about it from the creator of Shaved Bieber, Greg Luch, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Greg. Thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
We're doing great. You heard our discussion about how Justin Bieber got to be so popular. I mean, really just all in the last year or so. What do you think's going on with this kid? Why is he so crazy popular?
I mean, I think I agree with you. I mean, he is kind of cute. I mean, girls think he's pretty, so...
He does, like, super accessible pop music, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But, and I don't want to sound like, you know, hey, kids, get off my lawn here. But couldn't he use a haircut? I mean, seriously, couldn't he trim those bangs a little bit?
Yeah, I agree.
Really? Couldn't he trim his bangs? That's what you're going with, Bean?
What about Shaved Bieber? Tell us about this, Greg, because it sounds awesome and useful.
All right, so it's a Firefox add-on that basically installs in your browser that covers up any mention of his name online or any images of him that you see while you're browsing.
So you go to the internet and there's nothing there? It's just dark?
No, basically. It just covers it up, like taking a marker and covering it over.
But if I, for instance, if I'm on Twitter, for instance, and as is often the case in the top Twitter trends, you'll see, one or two Justin Bieber mentions. What would be in that spot if I were running this this Firefox app here?
You would just see a big black block of nothing.
All right.
Oh, that's even better. And how long ago did you come up with this, and how's it taken off for you?
I created this about a month ago and started as just kind of a joke between friends, and this thing has blown up all over the place. It's been absolutely crazy.
Can you do this for anyone? I mean, if we got tired of fill in the blank, could you
J-Lo, for instance?
Oh, totally. Lady Gaga, you name it. The code is open source, so anybody can just take it and change whatever those values are to be anybody and anything.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So if I'm at people.com, for instance, it'll show me the whole page, everything that's on the page about all the other celebrities, but where the Justin Bieber story is, it would just be blacked out.
Yep.
That's pretty incredible.
You're a genius.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from the Beliebers?
Ooh, that's been a touchy issue.
Yeah.
I've been getting lots of really, really, really nice fan mail from them.
Sure. I'm sure you have. Yeah, they love you, right?
Everything from telling me to die, that I'm Hitler.
Wait a minute. You're Hitler?
So they think.
Listen to this, Kevin, because this is in the news story
Maybe they don't understand who Hitler is.
This is the news story that we saw about Greg and his invention.
All right.
An irate, please tell me if this is incorrect, Greg, but this is what it said in the story. An irate 15-year-old girl from Switzerland named Alex even went so far as to compare him to Hitler. I just wanted to give you the heads up that you will have many people enraged with you. I'm talking 5 million, me included. I realize that you're just stating an opinion, but what you're doing goes back to World War II all over again. Hitler wanting to erase Jews from society. You want to erase Justin Bieber. That's the note you got?
Yeah. My God. That's the tip of the iceberg.
So you're telling me that she knows who Hitler was and still is supporting that. Wow.
Greg, we're always impressed anytime anyone is able to come up with something like this, because a lot of times we have ideas. We have no idea how to actually make them happen. Is this the type of thing that you can make money off of, or is it just, you're having a laugh?
I'm just having a laugh. I mean, I look at this more as an art piece and consider it very successful to the fact that I've gotten such diverse reactions from so many people all across the world.
But now that it's taken off so much, do you think, hey, maybe I should have tried to make money on it?
Honestly.
I've thought about it.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's just been a fun ride, and I'm kind of enjoying just what's happened so far.
All right, last question for you. Have you heard anything from Justin Bieber?
Not yet. Can you guys help me with that?
No.
Maybe he's...
We have a block on the phones.
He may have a shaved Greg Luch app on his internet. Maybe he can't. Maybe he didn't even know about it.
Ooh, that's a good possibility.
Well, what a burden that would be, wouldn't it?
All right. How do people find it if they want to download this for their own computer use?
They can go to shavedbieber.com.
All right. Download and by it. The way, for folks who are already writing strongly worded letters complaining about the show, it's Bieber. Bieber like Justin Bieber. Not correct. What you think he said, okay?
Correct, yes. Bieber is spelled B-I-E-B. As in boy, E-R.
Right.
So you can do that. Mike wanted me to play the Thriller music over that, but I'm not going to. Tell us what
this is great.
Tell us what it is, where it is again, where they can find it.
ShavedBieber.com.
All right. There you go.
All right. Okay. Good times, Greg. Great work, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Little band called The Gorillas headline night number 3 of this year's Coachella Festival in front of something like 80,000 people, or however many were left after a long weekend. And we'll talk to Damon Albarn from the band Gorillas and a little band called Blur, you may remember, coming up in about 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, poor Rihanna, who I love, by the way, not just because she's so unbelievably hot, but because I like her records. I think she's really, really talented. Can't catch a break, though. One thing right after another. Nothing but trouble.
This past Monday night, she was taken to the hospital after her concert in Switzerland, MTV News found out. She was rushed to a private clinic and had been seeing specialists for a, quote, undisclosed condition. But other reports said she was treated for a broken rib and released.
Ouch. Ouch.
Broken ribs, I don't know if you've had them, but ouch, they hurt like a mother.
Well, it only hurts when you breathe.
Yes.
That's the good thing about broken ribs, right? We're lucky enough to have a relationship with Rihanna, and I believe we have her on the phone with us right now. Hi, Rihanna. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know why we talked to Rihanna. We're always excited, and then we remember, oh, wait, we don't understand anything she's trying to tell us.
Do you have a broken rib?
It's a righty comba, I be aching man. Kono so that it's a pankai to. It's no red on when I see the spy. Oh, make it
I'm gonna put you down for a yes then. Can you tell us what happened? How did you injure yourself?
Oh man, what's going on? You got a dancing man. They say shaking the thread, it's a really lying man. What's called Rapaton Kaito to come? Bop.
I don't,
we had better luck with Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Rihanna, the first thing I thought is, what's going on with your carnival, Rihanna?
I'm sorry, man. Me steel drum player had a stroke.
It didn't seem to stop pretty regularly.
Oh, he's better now, man.
All right, good.
The first thing I was afraid of when I heard you'd been to the... Is there any way you could turn the steel drums down? Is that possible?
Omar, can you not be playing the steel drum so loud,
wait,
man?
Wait, who?
It's me, steel drum player Omar, man.
Omar, isn't it?
It's a
The first thing I feared when I heard you were in the hospital with broken ribs is that somehow you'd gotten back together with Chris Brown. But that's not the case here, right, Rihanna?
Don't be making a joke about the situation. I was going to say, you don't have to get a back rock about pump, pump, pump.
Listen, we would like to find out a little more about your situation. Do you have a personal doctor there?
I mean, I got me Dr. Conrad Murray, man.
Dr. Conrad Murray.
You want to be talking to my doctor, man?
Please.
Conrad
Murray, that's the same doctor who's going to be on trial for killing Michael Jackson, isn't he?
Hey, dude, what's up?
Conrad?
Is this Conrad Murray?
Yeah. It's happening.
Well, you don't sound like... I mean, we've talked to you lots of times on the show before. You don't sound like this.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, what's that be happening to me? Really?
How's Rihanna?
Good man, we're just taking to the hospital like a rasta to work on the island style, go like a tangai, usungo, double a glut man.
It's quite.
Me said that chicken head cover out of that screw face, I rock a tampunto.
Okay.
I consider when I lime man style.
Bean, I'd like to vote that we've gotten what we're going to get out of this.
I believe
No, man, because I take the coconut, I put the lime in it, I shake them both up.
All right. Thanks, doctor.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy on the way, Movie Beat on the way. We have Desmond.
Yes.
That's who I'm looking forward to. Henry Ian Cusick is going to be on the program today talking about Lost. I'm a little more lost than most. I just watched this week's episode last night.
Okay.
And I have many questions, and I don't have a lot of answers.
Yeah, I'm not good at that stuff either.
Here's the weird thing. Everybody that I run into has a lot of theories about stuff, and I ask, what about this? What about this? What about this? And they all have a theory. If right. somebody were to ask me, what about this? I would go, I have no idea. So there is actually, you know, the series finale is this Sunday night. And there is actually an ABC Lost Information Helpline.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you, like me, need to be caught up, you know, this is the place to call. And hopefully we can get some answers
well,
before.
Well, they know.
Right. Before this Sunday's series finale. So
okay.
Let's dial this up. Scary.
Hello, and thank you for calling the ABC Television Lost Information Helpline. This Sunday, we at ABC are proud to present the series finale of one of television's most acclaimed programs, Lost. But we realize that you, the viewer, might need some additional information to clarify and enjoy the final 2.5 hour episode.
Excellent.
If you would like a brief biography of a particular Lost cast member, press 1 now. If you'd like a brief description of one of Lost's key characters, press 2 now. If you'd like some clarification regarding the plot of Lost, press 3 now.
That's what we want,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Exactly.
You have chosen Lost, Plot Assistance. If you would like a brief synopsis of a particular episode, press 1 now. If you would like an abridged overview of a particular season of Lost, press 2 now.
It's bigger than
if you would like the answers behind some of the mysteries that have not yet been answered on Lost, press 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42 now.
Those are the numbers.
Well done.
Yeah.
You have chosen Answers to the Lost Mysteries.
Right.
And kept the Dharma Swan Station from imploding. Just kidding.
All right, good.
The producers and writers have tried their best to answer all of the mysteries of Lost in its final episodes.
Okay.
But naturally, a few are left remaining. We at ABC understand that your finale viewing experience might be aided by having the answers to some of these few mysteries left over from Lost's 6 seasons.
Fantastic.
Choose from the following list of mysteries. And please wait for the entire list before making your choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know, what is the significance of the numbers 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42, press 1 now. If you'd like to know what the four-toed statue is, press 2 now.
Hmm.
If you'd like to know what the significance of all the polar bears on the island are, press 3 now. If you'd like to know why pregnant women can't give birth on the island, press 4 now.
Another good one.
If you'd like to know what Aaron's significance is, press 5 now.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd
oh.
like to know what happened to Walt, press 6 now.
Oh.
If you'd like to know what the Hanso Foundation is, press 7 now. If you'd like to know what's in the missing footage from the Dharma training film, press 8 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know what the Egyptian symbols were that appeared in the hatch when the countdown went past 108 minutes, press 9 now.
What was 2?
If you'd like to know why Jack ended up so far in the forest after the original plane crash, press 10 now.
Okay.
If you'd like to know why Jack's dad's coffin was empty, press 11 now.
Okay, that one.
If you'd like to know why Hurley was in the mental institution in the first place, press 12 now.
What was 2 and 5?
If you'd like to know why Desmond is immune to electromagnetism, press 13
well, that's
now.
That's a good one, too.
If you'd like to know why Ben Linus has access to such massive sums of money, press 14 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know how the Dharma Initiative found the island when no one else seemed to be able to, press 15 now.
I don't remember.
If you'd like to know who the woman was who raised Jacob and the man in black, press 16 now.
That's a good question.
If you'd like to know why Jacob knew he would eventually need a replacement on the island, press 17 now.
Well,
if you would like to know who built the temple, press 18 now.
I don't remember.
If you'd like
temple.
To know what dark forces claimed Saeed, press 19 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know what Rousseau's research party was all about, press 20 now.
Wow.
If you'd like to know what the smoke monster left Russo alive after killing or claiming the rest of her expedition, press 21
maybe
now.
Maybe I can just hit them all.
If you'd like to know what the significance of the hand-carved Ankh inside Hurley's guitar case was, press 22 now. If you'd like to know why Jack's neck is all the bleeding all the goddamn time, press 23 now.
What was that about?
If you'd like to know how Jacob got off the island of
visit the candidates before the crash. No one else seems to be able to leave the island. Press 24 now.
Okay.
If you'd like to know why Ileana was bandaged up when Jacob recruited her, press 25
That's
now.
A good question, too.
If you'd like to know how Richard travels to and from the island so goddamn easily when no one else seems to be able to get off of it, press 26 now.
All right, I'm losing
track. If you'd like to know why Richard Alpert and the rest of the others did not move through time while Sawyer, Juliet Faraday, and the rest of them did, what was that about? Press 27 now.
27.
If you'd like to know why the room that holds the moving island wheel is so cold, press 28 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know what 28? Happened at Jacob's cabin, press 29 now.
All right, 29.
If you'd like to know why a sonar fence would stop the smoke monster, press 30 now.
That's a really good
if
question.
If you'd like to know how Mr. Echo faced down the smoke monster and then killed him later for no apparent reason, press 31 now.
God.
If you'd like to know how the farmer's food drop plane knew how to find the island but no one else can see if we find the island,
I'm
press 32 now.
I'm trying to
if you'd like to know what that vision of Hurley's friend Dave was all about, press 33 now. What was that horse that Kate saw? What the hell was that all about?
Press
34 now.
That's a good point.
Why was Vision of Walt talking backwards? Was Walt dead or was he alive or he was just talking backwards? Nobody knows. What was that about? Press 35 now.
I thought you were the
helpline.
What
made Locke mute immediately after the hatch implode? Why couldn't he talk? What was that? They never explained that part. He's 36 now.
Wow.
Why does Daniel Faraday, who has both his parents who are both British and he lived in England his whole life and went to Oxford University, why does he have an American accent? Press 37
That's
now.
That's another great question.
Oh,
how
God.
Did the others get the names of all the survivors when they first crashed on the plane? What do they have, like an extra list of people who were on that plane? Press 38 now. Why did Sawyer and Kate get a message in the post-island flash forward when Sawyer was still on the island? How did he get a message to Kate? What happened there?
That's a good
That's
question.
39.
39.
How did the smoke monster tell Ben and Locke to move the island back in season 4? Why did he do that? And why did he want to move the island? Nobody was coming after the island. Press 40 now. What was the sickness that Darwin Initiative was vaccinating people against, huh? What was it? Tell me, goddammit! Press 41 now.
I thought you were supposed
to... What was that thing the others were having Kate and Sawyer build when they had them locked up in the polar bear cages? What was it, like a runway or something? Are we expecting a plane to land?
That's
How about
true.
That? How about that? Answer me that!
Look, we're coming to you for answers.
Goddammit, the show makes me nuts!
Weezer's kind of the king of the dreaded double hand clap. Somehow they're able to pull it off.
Yeah.
They do a lot of that, don't they?
The
All right.
Dreaded double hand clap of gayness is what I call it. But somehow they do it without being gay.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters on the way. They do no double hand claps. Also, we got The Verve coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show, Rise Against, and yes, because you demanded it, Puddle of Mud. All right, you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. We took a call first thing yesterday from a longtime Kevin and Bean listener, frequent contributor to the program on the phones. Chewy called in, and he brought up a, well, what he thought might be a little bit of a thorny issue that we want to discuss here today now that we have a little bit more time.
I checked my son's cell phone for sexting and pictures and stuff and whatnot.
Right. How old is he?
He's 19, and his girlfriend is going to be 18, like, really soon.
I hope today.
yesterday she turned 18.
Good call.
Okay, better, call. Better.
Yesterday. Okay, well, I go through his phone, and I see these pictures of her that I probably shouldn't see.
Right. Were they nude?
Completely.
Yes.
Oh, she wears white pants.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Your son hit the mother load.
Chewy, your son is 19. He's not 14. Why are you going through his phone? If you're going through his phone looking for sexy time, you're not doing it to look out for him. You're doing it because you
did
it.
No, I'm not going to admit to that yet.
But, but Chewy, he's 19. Beans right.
Yeah.
It's not like he's 12.
I still pay the phone bill. I still get to check out the phone.
Oh, well.
Wow, so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he claims. And then we started talking off the air about how uncomfortable that is for the son because, well, the way Chewy explained it, he made it sound like the son was there and knew that dad was looking at these pictures.
Yeah. And the son's all proud.
Yeah, that already is creepy. But isn't it awkward if your girlfriend is coming around and you know your dad is, like, totally checking her out? Wouldn't you want your dad to just look the other way or pretend that that person's a kid and they don't even notice her in that way?
Only yes.
Yeah.
But
the problem is, like, when guys have kids when they're super young, that means they're still young when, you know, his kid's 19. How old do you think Chewy is?
Yeah. Yeah, 30, he sounds pretty young, too.
Yeah, 30s?
Yeah.
So... Right. So he's still interested in that. And that brought up the topic that is super uncomfortable, and that is, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Your parent, either one, hit on your boyfriend or girlfriend. Your parent hit on your boyfriend or girlfriend.
This happened to me once.
Really?
And I was at a wedding with my boyfriend, and I had met his parents a couple of times and ended up dancing with the dad, and he started kind of grinding, and then he grabbed my ass.
Yes!
And
wait, at a wedding?
Yes.
Where everyone could see?
Well, I mean, we were all, but yeah. So I go back to... I politely go, okay, I'm done. And I go back to the boyfriend and tell him, and he does not believe me.
Really?
Yeah.
You said your dad grabbed my ass.
He
said, no way did that happen.
That did not happen.
Awesome. Lisa, I'm really surprised that you brought that up to the boyfriend, knowing that it would be a little bit awkward and uncomfortable for him to hear.
Well,
it's a little uncomfortable for her.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, talk to your dad. This is creepy. But, yeah.
But he didn't believe it. Did he ever believe him?
No.
Never believed
him?
No. Wow.
His dad was creepy.
Wow.
So there's that.
What do you do? Did he make advances more than just...
No. Well...
You went over the house.
I really didn't go over to that house anymore. Yeah. I was done with that.
Wow.
That's kind of why I thought you wouldn't bring it up, because you ran into this guy because you were at a wedding. It's not like you were spending a lot of time with him.
I did wonder if I should bring it up.
Yeah.
You know? But,
or just run.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
have to do one of the, if you're going to stay, you do have to bring it up. I mean, you can't just go, hey, this is cool. This is part of the deal.
Because you're going to have to at some point say, please don't leave me alone in a room with him.
Why? Yeah, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Well, we want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you can hear the Kevin and Bean Show, then you can call. That number works nationwide. You can call and be on the air. We're looking for your boyfriend or girlfriend was hit on by your mom or dad. And we know that this happens because we've had lots of calls over the years from people who have had sex with both the dad and the son, or both the mom and the daughter. So we know that somehow it somehow leads to that sometimes.
Not at the same time, most of the time.
No, most of the time, right.
But yeah. Wow.
But it does seem like it would be a little uncomfortable. And it does seem like if you're the kid in the situation, you've got to be like, come on, mom.
Right.
Come on, dad.
Let me get mine.
Yeah, you got yours. Give the drummer
some. What's happening here?
So let's try a couple calls quickly, and then we'll make room for the rest of them. Mike is on line 2. He's calling the Kevin and Bean Show today, and I think he's got exactly what we're looking for here. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program, dude. What happened?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, Mike.
Let's see. I was hanging out with my girlfriend and my mom, and she, you know, we're all, you know, hanging out, whatever, and my mom ended up drinking. And next thing you know, my mom is blatantly hitting on my girlfriend, and it's something that I, yeah.
All right, hold on a second here. Hold on a sec, Mike. We didn't even mention your mom hitting on your girlfriend or your dad hitting on your boyfriend. I hadn't even thought of that part yet.
This is even better.
Yeah.
But that really happened? You're in the room and your mom is hitting on your girlfriend?
I swear to God. And, like, it was something I was like, oh, maybe she's being friendly. You know, she's having a couple of drinks, whatever. But, no, like, after a while, I start picking up. I'm like, oh, my God, my mom's hitting my girlfriend.
And?
Weird. My girlfriend was kind of freaked out at the time, and I talked to her mom about it later. And she's like, oh, I was just, you know, being friendly. I was
trying to get a handful.
it was really kind of weird. And then afterwards, the girlfriend went crazy. But, I mean, seriously, it was kind of weird at first.
Wow. It is weird. How old was your mom at the time, if you remember, if you can do the math real quick? How old was your mom at the time? How old was your girlfriend?
Honestly, it was about 5 years ago. My girlfriend was, 26? My girlfriend was older than me. But yeah, it was.
Your mom was how old?
My mom was, 40? I mean, half the time, all my friends try to, you know, to my mom.
Is your mom high?
Some would say so, unfortunately.
It's got to be difficult for Mike to answer that question, though.
Shut up, dude. Seriously.
No, I'm saying it's got to be. I'm defending you.
When
Kevin asks, is your mom hot, that's a tough question for you to answer because you can't look at her that way. That's what I'm saying.
Seriously, yeah. Like, my crap about it, too. But, yeah, that's my.
How's her rack?
Oh, come on with that.
I'm just kidding.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. Mom hit on girlfriend. That's awesome.
That is crazy.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Your parent hit on your boyfriend or girlfriend. More calls.
We're talking about, we're talking about your mom or your dad hitting on your boyfriend or your girlfriend. In any combination, that's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. I'm still reeling over some of the calls that I'm seeing up here.
Well, you know what's funny is that for most people, that topic would never enter your mind.
Yeah.
You know, like my parents were pretty old when they had me, and it was a whole different thing.
Elder abuse.
But it happens. And it seems to happen a lot. We have a bunch of people on hold who say that it happened to them, like Josh. Hello, Josh.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good. What happened to you?
So about a year ago, my stepdad, who had been my stepdad since I was 4, I'm 29 now, kissed my wife.
Ouch.
Kissed your wife?
Yeah.
On the lips?
On the lips. Oh. They were the only two there at the time.
Did she like it?
No, not at all. And, yeah, it's been pretty rough. We've got two kids as well, so he's got grandkids.
Are they yours or are they his?
Oh, I may need some DNA.
Maybe you're not a father at all. Maybe you're just a son, and he's a...
Man, I'm free now, aren't I?
Wow.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So,
was he drunk? Was he drinking?
No, not at all.
Oh, no. Wow. That's the one defense. That's the one defense is the drinking thing. Yeah. That's the only thing you could kind of go, well, I guess I could...
So, yeah, Josh, how do you handle it now? Do you just keep him keep those two apart, or did you have a sit down with him and explain how unacceptable that was, or what'd you do?
No, I tried to have a sit down with him because I was going to try and kill him.
Right, of course.
But
and it's easier if he's sitting.
I haven't seen him. He hasn't seen the grandkids since then, and now they're. My mom is basically about to get a divorce. So.
Oh my God, this got way ugly.
So that was just the beginning of the problems.
Yeah, thanks for bumming us out, Josh. Appreciate it, dude.
Thank you.
We forgot to give the disclaimer that if it ends tragically, it's not as funny.
Yeah.
Right. Mario, though, ends with a very happy happy situation on line three. Hey, Mario, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on in your family, dude?
Well, true fact, I met my girl back about a year and a half ago. I met her through the mom. I actually was dating the mom.
Okay, wait. So you started dating the mom.
Yeah.
And then you met the daughter. How old was the daughter?
The daughter, she's 21 at the time.
Okay.
So you figure the mom was 39. She was smoking hot. I started going out with her, banging her all the time. She introduced me to her daughter. Been a boyfriend, girlfriend with her ever since, but I'm still banging her to this time, both of them now.
Okay. I find that hard to believe.
Look, how long has this been going on? You've been having sex with the mom and the daughter?
Yeah, for the past year and a half.
Okay.
A year and a half? How does neither of them say? Do they know?
The mom knows, but the daughter don't know.
Can we call her?
I don't think so.
Man, you're playing with fire a year and a half.
Yeah, but hey.
Well, his defense is, yeah, but hey.
That's a good defense. What are you going to do? All right.
Exactly. I mean... I'm trying to find some reason why it's a bad idea. I can't think of any, actually. I think I'm with you there, dude.
We're really searching for a reason, but other than it could blow up in your face at any moment, which doesn't seem to be a problem for him.
Right. And then he'll just move on. Right. Let's try Sam. He has a different kind of story, too, on line four. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay.
So this happened when I was really young, actually. I was only like 14 years old, and I was in juvenile hall, actually, and going through a court process. I had a girlfriend, we were, like, boyfriend and girlfriend for a long time already, and maybe about a year.
Right.
And so when I was going to court, my dad was picking her up, taking her to my court, and I didn't think anything of it. I went back, and they were there, whatever, and then she would write to me and everything, and then one day she just stopped writing to me, and I had no idea why, and I lost all contact, and it turned out that my dad wasn't only taking her to my court. Like, he was, taking her out, buying
her
stuff.
How about that? Your dad moved in while you were a juvie.
All right. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's what it cost, for him to get me a lawyer. He had to get
Wow. Oh, my God.
Here's the thing I can't figure out. You said you were 14 at the time. How old was your girlfriend?
She was only 16.
And how old were – and so your dad then was 30, right?
And a little bit older than that, man. That guy is,
Oh, my God. He's a baller, that guy.
Wow.
I want to meet your dad.
So his son's in juvie, and he takes over with his son's girlfriend on the outside. That's crazy.
I think that's just a good support staff.
It's a healthy family.
I think if you're in jail, you need your family to pick up the slack where you can't.
Right? I mean, at least it's my dad and not someone else. Right.
I guess.
Right. How long did it last between those two?
I had no idea. I was, when I was released, I still didn't talk to her for a while. Then, finally got in contact with her, and she just broke it down to me and told me, hey, this is what happened. Your dad one day, he was buying me clothes. And
right.
She's like, I didn't think anything of it.
Asked me to try them on.
Yeah, it was really clothes. And then she said one day, they were driving, and he just did the let me put my hand on your lap, And I
guess, your dad's a smooth operator.
No kidding. Yeah,
did she say, you have to call me mom from now on? Girlfriend say that?
I call her
that would
anyway.
Be weird if you got out of juvie and she was your new stepmother. That would be very weird.
Oh,
call.
All right, Sam. Thank you for the call. Let's not take any more of these calls. This is supposed to be
it's
fun.
Creepy.
It's too icky.
Was good.
Come on. I want to go wash up. Dad took over while he was in jail.
Oh man.
That's support. Let me tell you a story about my partner Bean.
Kay.
He is in a rush. That guy has. That guy has a busy, busy life.
He does.
And we haven't really questioned it for a while. It's always like, oh, we got to do something. We needed to make a 3-minute phone call. And Bean goes, oh. And we go, what? It's 3 minutes. And I go, I'm busy today. So we go, all right, we'll try to rush it. And then we have to do something. Oh, man, I don't know if. Guys, I got to be done by 10:01. I'm super busy today. Did you get a chance to watch the show? No. Oh, no. I'm so busy. So we started asking ourselves, how could he possibly be that busy? He's got a wife, but he doesn't talk to her.
Right.
Okay, A. B, he has no kids.
And he works from home. There's no commute.
And he works from home, so there's no commute time.
He doesn't even have to shower before he goes to work.
Right. He has some animals.
Yeah.
That's
way less than he used to.
But that's it.
Pretty much it.
How busy can that guy be?
I am baffled.
He is constantly telling us.
Yesterday he was saying how he didn't have time to watch any videos.
Yeah, yeah. Like
a 1-minute video. Like, I don't have that kind of time.
The Internet Roundup. We do stuff like that, and he'll say, oh, yeah, I read about that, but I didn't watch it. We're like, most of those videos take 30 seconds to watch. How much of a rush are you in?
Look, I know that you're not at all interested in facts at all.
That's correct.
I understand that's not what this is about. But I will tell you that, of course I have time to watch a video. The problem is, there may be 100 videos that have come up in the last few days. I don't have time to watch all of them.
Right.
That's the problem.
What about the ones from those of us on the show that are saying these are the select few that we think might be worth featuring on the show?
I have to prioritize with things that look more important. And also, I know, hey, he's got 6 dogs. May not sound like a lot of work. 6 dogs is an awful lot of work.
You
don't just set it and forget it, all right?
Right, there's it's also not 10:01 a.m. to midnight work.
Right.
I agree, unless you have an appointment at 10:30 and now somebody's saying, hey, we need you to do something now for 20 minutes instead of getting ready to go to that thing that you have already scheduled at 10:30.
Why didn't you schedule something for 11:30? Too busy then?
Sometimes it's out of your control when an appointment is already made and then your schedule changes. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, but do you have a standing rule that all appointments must be made at 10:01?
Not at all.
That's what he's trying to make.
But when I spoke at that college earlier in the week, for instance, I didn't have any control over the class. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not like I could move it.
Dude, we're not talking about exceptions. We're talking about the rule.
The rule, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, how many appointments? Who are you going to see? How many appointments do you have? Exactly.
Every single day, he's in such a rush, he just can't fathom having the time to catch some 20-second something.
Yep.
So that's why it killed me when he said yesterday, first his theme song.
He's really busy.
Okay.
Bean's really busy.
I already heard the first half of that. I didn't have time to stick around to hear it.
Bean's really busy.
So the other day, he does like he does, which is thanks for that info, Bean, where he says things that are unsolicited.
He rambles on about crap no one cares about.
Yes. And he says, guys, I think I'm going to go to a rally for Pluto on Saturday.
Oh, come on.
And then we all said, oh, come on. And we all started yelling at him. And he said, yeah, I heard from an astronomer friend of mine that there's a rally on Saturday for Pluto. And I think I might go. And that's when we all started yelling, you always tell us you're so busy. How could you fit in a rally
for
Pluto? Which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is Bean's favorite planet. No longer a planet.
It's not a planet.
It's been demoted to rock.
Hence the rally, I take it.
But, guys, you wouldn't try to begrudge anyone on this show something that they enjoy doing on their weekend for an hour, right? Whatever your hobby or habit or interest is.
That depends on if I'm supposed to watch a video link over the weekend and don't have time, then it becomes everyone else's. Well, what are you talking about? You're going to
a
rally for Pluto?
Yeah, what do you hope to accomplish?
Are you going to hold signs that say honk if you wish Pluto was still a planet? What's the
it's funny you should ask. My sign, I haven't decided. I'm torn between two signs. I have astronomical hypocrisy creates unfair plutocracy. That's one sign. But that, to me, I don't know. It just seems wordy. I think it waters down the message a little bit because it's just too wordy. So I think I'm going to go with science is wrong, Pluto belongs, down with the AIU. I think that's the one I've decided that I'm going to write up.
Bean's really busy.
It's just it's
this
a
is
march.
Why Bean's really busy. We want him to do stuff, and he's like, "I gotta make a sign. I need to make a sign for my rally.
For my rally.
How many people are going to be at that rally? Are they going to be like four? Is it going to be a sad little rally with you?
Is there
and
any
like,
going to be there that cares and can change it?
Two guys out there.
No, I think as with most rallies, look, this is no different than the people who stand on street corners with signs that say end the Iraq war. You're right. Nobody driving by is going to be able to change that for
but
them.
But at
they're,
least
they're technically wasting their time.
At least that's relevant.
But seriously, it accomplishes as much as the Pluto rally, to be honest. It's just
okay,
it's
so why are you going?
It's something that you do just to kind of throw it out there in the public that this is still going on and this is something that give a minute's thought to this weekend.
But here's another thing.
Out of all the
possible
love for Pluto,
causes, this is it.
Yeah, because end the war rallies, if they could make a change, would actually affect people's lives.
It would
if
save
they
lives.
Changed what you want them to change, it does nothing. Nothing
Pluto
changes.
At the kids' table diminishes all of us. That's what I'm saying.
He's really busy.
I don't know that I want to live in a solar system where Pluto isn't a planet.
I don't know where I want to be even a passing friend with somebody who would go to a rally for a former planet.
And let's not forget, we tried to get him to go to a coffee house that opened up in Seattle where everybody wears, it's all hot females that wear lingerie that serve you your coffee. And he swore up and down, I just don't have time.
I'm too busy.
What good is that?
What about the naked dancing women at night at some nearby...
It's a hostel.
What is that place?
It's a youth hostel where they have like naked dancing night. And it's
on the full moon every month.
And he can't go.
And we're like, what did it look like? And he's like, I didn't go. I didn't have time. And that's like 4 minutes from his house.
I have to buy a lot of grain and feed today.
I really, really need to take care of my six dogs.
By the way, the youth hostel, I literally could walk to in 60 seconds. Literally. That's how close the youth hostel is.
But
I lived here for 11 years. Very busy, man. I got a lot going on.
I'd like to know your itinerary, though, because the stuff you're busy with is absurd.
Yeah,
but that's not true.
That's
you're picking
truth.
Out one example of something that you wouldn't care about. But like, for instance, today I'm meeting a couple of radio guys for lunch at 2 o'clock. Okay?
Radio guy lunch.
Woo-hoo! Radio guy lunch. That's lunch the other thing that fills up his time. If you work at an AM station that you started in your basement, Bean will spend all day with you. That's the way it works.
I enjoy colleagues. So I've got that at 2, which means I'm on a ferry at 12:50, which means I have to have the livestock all fed and you know, put away by noon or so in order to get ready to head out for the ferry. So, I mean, as you can see, it's you can just look at the calendar and go, oh, you got lunch at 2. That's not a big deal. But then everything backs up behind that, and then you find yourself with a busy day.
But then you get the email where it goes, hey, we're having a rally for Pluto, and you go, wow. Don't possibly have time for that. I can't look at a 20-second video. I can't make it to a rally for Pluto.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think I'm the one that you can really complain about not being prepared for the radio show. I generally am pretty up to speed.
Right.
I do, you know, try to read the books if we have an author on
when
or whatever.
Stuff
you know.
That we say, hey, you'll love this.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we're going to put this on the air. You'll... Maybe half the time watching, you go, I read about it. I didn't really, I didn't have time. And then we're on the phone with him in the office, and he's like, hey, guys, let's move this meeting along. I'm recording a press conference from NASA.
That happened.
Like, you won't click on a link that we send you. We know you. We think you'll find this funny. But you'll record a NASA press conference.
So what? You can go back and listen over and
so
over?
So he has some information when he goes to the Pluto rally.
It was a New Horizons update on reaching the halfway point on the mission to Pluto. Come on.
How is Pluto the biggest thing in anyone's
July
life?
July 14th, 2015 is when it arrived.
You don't care about Pluto. No one
science,
does.
Science is wrong. Pluto belongs. Down with the IAU. Who's with me?
He's really busy.
All right, that's the one song we have. Here's the other one.
Bean's a dick, 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 what a dick.
No, we don't have time for this.
Dick, Bean's a dick, 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 what a giant dick. Dick, Bean's a dick, 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 Bean's a dick, 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 Bean's a dick, 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 what a dick. Dick, 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 dick
So if you take one thing away from today's show.